This is episode number 23 of the Interactive Distractions Podcast for the week of April 28th, 2008. It's time for me to Coming up on this week's episode, we've got our current distractions, gaming news, we tackle the topic of whether or not the pre-owned gaming market is destroying the industry, new releases, listener email, and the oh-so-taboo question of the week.
Hello and welcome to episode number 23 of the Interactive Distractions Podcast.
Michael Jordan, what?
What? Oh.
Michael Jordan, 23?
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't like basketball. I forgot.
Yes. Next. I am Chris Riccio, and I'm here with Jason Aistrecker.
Hello.
And Jeff Chorney.
What's going on, peoples?
Who has been watching the NBA playoffs.
I have been.
So be careful, you might get some yelling.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I don't have Tourette's. It's because I'm actually watching a game at the same time. We'll see how my multitasking skills come into effect here.
Every once in a while, it's like, mother bitch!
Yep.
Screw you!
You might hear some random cursing.
Jeff, besides the basketball thing, how you doing, man?
Good. Besides basketball thing, doing all right. Same old, really. Nothing really to say.
Ah, how interesting.
Go Raptors.
That sounds like one of my intros. Wow.
Well, Jason, how are you?
Not much, man. You know, not up to too much. I'm doing all right. Pretty good. No, actually, I'm really tired. That's the extent of my, you know, how you doing? I'm working on a lot of projects and staying up entirely too late. So,
cool.
I'm running on pure caffeine right now.
You're still young.
I'm actually bouncing in my chair.
He's older than you, Jeff.
I know. I was being nice.
Oh, okay.
Well, the most important question on my mind right now is, Chris, how are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm still driving
Jesus
a fucking
Christ.
Camry.
You need some caffeine too, man.
Yeah, well. I still don't have my car. It pisses me off.
That
I want
does
it back.
Suck.
Yeah. But other than that, you know, this has been a much better week than last week. Last week really sucked, and this week has been much better. It's like last week, after we finished the show, I had this like negativity moment where I was like, man, I really don't like the way that show turned out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had that too.
Did you? But then when I listened to it, I was like, that wasn't that bad. It was pretty good. So it was like, cause I thought we, you know, fumbled over each other a lot and.
Yeah. We were like talking over each other and.
Yeah. But whatever. People don't
I think I have
perfect.
That after every episode.
Oh, do you?
I think I do. I'm neurotic that way.
Except for the one when Jeff wasn't here. Oh.
Oh, snap. Sing.
No, this. We were feeling pretty bad about that one, too. But after we listened to it, we were like, we don't really need that guy. But we didn't mean it.
All right, guys, take it easy. I can watch the rest of the game now.
Peace. No way. Come back. Cool. Well, what have you been... blah, blah.
That was good.
Thanks. I'm on a roll. I'll figure out how to talk within the next hour or so. So hopefully after we get back from break, I'll have the speech impediment will be gone. See, I got the Jeff problem again.
You do.
I can't even say the word impediment.
I'm telling you, man, it's contagious. Look out.
Jason, what are you playing, man?
It's been a light gaming week. Warhawk, of course. You guys are familiar with Warhawk Wednesday now. Smash hit sensation. Sweeping the nation, or at least Fiji Evo, anyway. Yeah. But we had a good turnout. I think we'll talk about that a little bit later, though, because I think we have a lot to talk about. Anyway, 360, casual gaming again, Puzzle Quest. I'm determined to beat that game and unlock everything that I can. I'm at level 49 right now, and I've got to hit level 50 to actually, you know, unlock the level 50 achievement. And I'm right about ready to beat the game, so...
Cool.
It's just a completionist thing. I have to do it. I'm compelled to do it. And I can do nothing else.
You've upgraded your Citadel all the way, right?
Not yet. I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
You know that. Do you have the church yet? I think it's the church.
I think so.
Where you can actually pay gold to increase your stats?
Yes. Yes, I do have that.
That becomes your best friend after a while.
So you
pay
sure.
That's where all my money's going to go.
Well, yeah. And what it is like, have you played Puzzle Quest, Jeff?
Like briefly.
Okay. Well, when you go up a level, you get like 4 points to add to your stats, and certain stats increase by, it costs like 3 points to increase depending on your class. And there's some other stats that only take 1 point. Well, after you get to church, you dump all of your points into the ones that only take 1 point, and then you buy the ones that take 3 points. End up getting a lot more out of it.
Yeah, that's why I'm like leveled up so high in like battle and whatnot, because they only cost a point.
What class are you?
I'm a knight.
Yeah, that's what I was when I played it through.
They're fun. Yeah. Indeed. It's nice that you can actually customize, you know, your character too, because you can capture enemies that have different spells and then learn those spells from them.
Yeah.
So if they're kicking your ass with something, you're like, I want that spell. Most often, you can get it. It's cool.
Yeah, but you don't get to do the infinite loop spells.
Yeah, they kind of, I don't want to say gimped, but they kind of balanced it for Xbox.
Yeah.
I think, you know, because there's online play and whatnot. So whereas before, like in the PSP or DS, you know, you really could get like solid infinite loops and just kill someone like one turn, as it were.
Yeah, that's what I ended up, that's what I was doing by the time I got to the end of the game on the PSP version.
Well, I'm glad they took it out. Not that I played online yet, but that would fucking suck. Because you know there's assholes out there that would do that.
Oh, yeah.
I'd have no problem with it. Bitches. Mother bitches.
Mother bitches. You mother bitch.
I've also been playing Phantasy Star 4, PS2.
Fantastic fun. Game.
Chris and I keep just, you know, geeking out on this game at work. We're just like IMing back and forth. Love the game so much. So good.
Yeah.
Think you guys are close to the end by now? Or not even close?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting there.
How long do you think it is?
There's extra stuff that you can do, you know.
Yeah, there's side quests. But I would say maybe 20 hours, maybe less.
It's and it's really tough to say because there's the like the easy mode.
Yeah.
And you can just breeze through shit. Mm-hmm. So I probably put in about 10 hours and I'm probably near the end.
Hmm.
So
it doesn't clock it.
Right. Yeah, there's no way to really know. Of course, it'd probably be like, you know, 14 or 15 hours if I would have, you know, saved properly the first time. But that's a whole other story. Also been playing WoW a little bit, kind of getting back in the gear of that, because we're going to start doing it, you know, every Saturday. Next month, I think we're going to start. Group of all torrents. Clan name's going to be, or the guild name's going to be like Moodalocalypse? After like Metalocalypse. You guys watch that show at all?
Yeah.
Adult Swim?
No.
Death Clock. I'm going to go see them, actually. I think next
Death Clock?
Yeah, Death Clock. They're going to play at the Tabernacle. I'm trying to think of what else. I think it's, I checked out the, what is it, Echo Chrome?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I downloaded that today that came out in the store.
Oh, nice.
PSN.
How many stages did it have? Did you go through them all?
Honestly, I only went through about three and I had to quit.
Oh, I got you.
I plan on giving another shot tonight. So hopefully I have something to say about it next week. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Because the Japanese one was really short, and I'm wondering if the American demo is any longer. I just haven't had time to download it yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I do not know, but I will find out for you. And let
that
you know.
Sounds good.
All right. But yeah, like I said, really light gaming week. Too busy with other stuff, unfortunately. And that makes me a sad, sad gamer. So I will pass it off to whomever's next.
And that would be Jeff.
Jeff.
Yay! Not too much to add here. Well, besides Warhawk, which we're getting to later. Played a little bit of Gears of War last night. I don't really know why. I just decided to throw in Gears of War, not multiplayer, single player. Mm-hmm. And that game is still gorgeous. It's still so good looking. That's why I'm like, wow, pretty graphics. And I only played like a level or two and moved on to Orange Box, Half-Life Episode 2. Played a little bit more of that. Played only for about, I don't know, like 20 minutes or so before I went to sleep. Played a little bit more Crisis Core. Sorry, what were you going to say, Jay?
How far are you into Half-Life 2? Are you still on the first one?
No, I'm on episode 2.
Oh, gotcha. Did I miss that?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you might have.
Okay, I'm pretty sure. All right, I'm going to go back to sleep.
Perfect. got to chug away.
Good, shut the fuck up. Quit interrupting me.
Stufu noob.
I'm sorry, did you say Gears of War?
Shut up. I'm talking. This is my time, guys, my time. I wasn't mocking you guys at your time.
Time.
This is my time. And I'm done. Next. I'm not actually done. I was gonna say I was playing some Crisis Core. That game's really starting to piss me off. I like the game. It's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. I'm in it for the storyline now. I can honestly say that's the only reason I'm playing it, because the DMV is ruining it for me, or whatever that all that thing is called. It just takes you right at the beginning. I was like, hey, it's not too bad. It's kind of there. I can put up with it. But now I'm just totally sick of it. How it's so random, and I'll be in the middle of battle, and I'll just randomly do something. Sometimes it does something, sometimes it doesn't, and it just totally screws up the flow of the action. And I know, so now, like, I
pause for a commercial break.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is, and it's one of those commercials where you look at it and you're like, "What the fuck just happened?" Mm-hmm. I don't even know what that's for. And yeah, so I still want to play through it, but right now it's purely for story reasons, not for the actual game. Because yeah, the action in that game, the battling is kind of blah.
How far do you think you are?
Sorry,
I just want to see if Zach makes out with Sephiroth at the end.
Exactly, and okay. That'd be hot.
How far do you think you are?
I'm at, I just beat the Bahamut one that's like all gold.
I haven't gotten that far, so I just beat Bahamut the first time, so.
Oh, okay.
I'm still really early in the game. It's like I'm picking it up in between Phantasy Star sessions, so.
Yeah, yeah. And I think
I'm just playing something called a slot machine.
Yeah.
I just go to the casino and I get my fix. I'm good.
That's all you need.
Probably have a better chance of having something that's actually worthwhile with that, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for real. Rock Band plays a little bit of Rock Band. I'm now proud to say I can now do Injustice for All and get 95% on hard.
Nice. Yay. Congrats.
Tried on Expert. I failed in about 15 seconds. little bit of a jump there, a little bit. Yeah, other than that... Oh, okay, sorry. I was playing GT... 5 Prologue again some more. I was managed to download that update and get online.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the Jeff bitching starts. Yeah. First case, we all knew the online doesn't have voice chat. You can't invite your friends, which sucks in the first place. Just this one gripe I have, well, there's a couple, is it runs fine online. As long as the cars aren't doing anything crazy, there's pretty much no lag. And even when there is kind of lag, I'm not sure if they covered it up, but it just kind of looks like the cars are sliding around the track. So it's not like they're actually like disappearing and reappearing, like teleporting, usual lag. It kind of looks like they're sliding. But what the game does, and I can see why they did this, is sometimes cars will go into like ghost mode, so you can go right through them or they can go right through you. And I think they did this for mainly two reasons. One, to stop dickheads who just want to cause shit and just keep running into people, so they'll make that car kind of go ghost so they can't interfere with the racers. Or two, they might have done that to keep the races somewhat slow, because I have noticed in this game that even though someone might clearly come in first, the cars seem to be kind of like in bunches, kind of, and there's not really a big spread out of cars, or no one really gets left really far behind, and so they really, really suck, because what this does is, if a car wipes out in front of you, chances are it's going to go ghost, you go right through it. It's not going to cause a big pile-up like it would in any other kind of racing game online, which I don't really know how I feel about that, because I'll be driving, and all of a sudden a car will go right through me and be in front of me. And I'm like, wait a second. I was there for a reason. I saw stuff happening behind me, so I went in that lane so that driver could not get past me. And all of a sudden they go right through me because he might just all of a sudden skid a little bit and, oh, ghost mode right through. Like, I don't think they know how to trigger it on purpose. It just happens kind of by accident. But it happens all the time. And I don't know when it's going to happen. It seems almost random. Or I'll be driving around and a car in front of me all of a sudden go ghost, and all of a sudden I can go right through them, or going around a corner kind of thing. And it just kind of takes the realism out of it quite a bit, actually.
Oh, you think? Wow.
Yeah.
We need a new segment on the show saying, that's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. It is. It's totally true, though. I'm sure, like, people out there, like, write in if you're getting the same experience as me, because, like, I know why they put it in, that would make sense, but I don't think they did it well. Because I know back in the day on Project Gotham, you'd run into people who just wanted to cause shit for people and swerve all around the track, or just run into people or go the wrong way. So they added those things in. But it happens way too often in GT5. Like, way too often. Like, all the time. In fact, you can always, pretty much guaranteed, always see a couple cars that are ghosting at some point or another. Another thing, this is more to do not to do with the game, but the people online... I'm not sure if it's because GT hasn't been online for a while, or if like PlayStation users aren't really used to racers online, but there's a kind of racing etiquette, especially in games like Forza and Project Gotham. I'm not sure if either of you guys played any of those games online.
Not online, no.
No.
Okay, well, there's like, at first, when games first come out, people kind of do their own thing. But after a while, there comes like an etiquette kind of thing, like in any kind of online game, whether it's first-person shooters or not. Like, you'll agree not to camp or not to exploit certain flaws in maps that give someone an advantage. But I find a lot of people in GT just don't care. If they have a chance to nudge your car around going around a corner, they will take you out from behind. Or if you're going down a straightaway and they're right beside you, they'll start ramming into you, trying to get you off the track. And most people are like, well, it's racing, you know, it's you know, do whatever you want to. But right. People kind of go into these things kind of want to be realistic. So like, you know what, if the guy's going to come out and pass you, don't ram into him to cause him to go into a thing. You're probably going to screw it up too. And people, I'm thinking, will catch on to people eventually, because eventually people will be like, okay, we'll just race this out like real racers would. Because if somebody would do, like in real racing, if someone were to do that on purpose to somebody, they'd pretty much get banned. Like,
oh yeah.
This kind of thing. And I mean, it's a video game, kind of do whatever. But I think that's something that the community will kind of
so take under the brightest their wing. Bunch of folks out there. I mean, yeah. We're talking about people who paid $40 for a demo.
Exactly. Hey, what? I'm one of those people.
Exactly.
I keyed. But other than that, it's pretty good. I mean, for an online demo, it's not that bad. It runs pretty well. It finds matches all the time. I have no problem with that. Like, I haven't had a problem finding a game, or I've only been disconnected a couple times, but that was when my whole PS3 was having problems connecting to PSN in the first place. So I don't think it's an actual game issue. I think it was my system that night or my connection. But so far, so good. I'm still liking that game. I mean, every day I sit there working, like, I'm going to go home and play a couple races or do whatever, and I really like it. So I'm pretty surprised, and I might be a convert to Sim Racers, because I really like this one.
Cool. Right. I'll be honest, I added it to my game for like you, so I'm going to give it a shot. Cool. We'll see.
Go for it. I would say let's meet online and race, but yeah, we can't do that.
Yeah, see, that sucks. I didn't know that they didn't have that, that you couldn't invite your friends to a race.
You can at all. All you do is hit online, what race you want to do, hit X, and then it throws you into a room.
Oh, that's retarded.
Groovy.
Yeah. Yeah, other than that, and there's one race, I mean, I'm in the second class of races now. There's one race I can't beat, only one, and I swear to God it's impossible. You have to come in first, second, or third out of a race with 15 cars. You start in last, and you have to do it within the first lap.
Wow.
And it's freaking impossible. I don't, if anyone has any tips out there, like talking to some people on GLF and stuff, and they're saying just do a lot of drafting and stuff like that, but some of those people can't beat it either, and I'm convinced there's a cheat code to beat this part or some kind of car you have to get, because it is, and you can only use one car. You can only use the Honda Integra. That's it. Yeah, it's tough. Weird. But yeah, that's pretty much all for me, man.
Cool.
All right, Chris. Well, let's see. 360, I played some more Lost Odyssey. And
what do you think of that so far? Let's get to your up-to-the-minute review of Lost Odyssey.
You haven't played that in a while, right?
No, it's been a while. I continued through the game. You know, I kept moved up, found the second boss. All right? Second boss.
The snake thing, right?
Yeah, the snake thing with all little magic insects that they call them or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So went up, fought him first time, beat him.
Nice,
you know, no problem. Go down and you find the tower. I don't remember what they called it that right now, but and
this.
You know, I'm really not spoiling anything by saying this, but you know the army comes over the hill and starts coming at you, and you get into that next battle.
Yeah.
During that, and of course, right after the boss, there's no save point.
No, but if you lose, you start after the boss, though.
Yes, after but if you get a disc read error, like I did.
Oh, dude.
Then you're fucked.
That does suck.
So, I lost the fact that I beat the boss, and then when I loaded up the next time, you know, I went and fought him, and he beat me. And I was like, you know, this is annoying as hell. So, because, you know, all the magic insects started doing that force attack that takes like 100 and something damage, and they were attacking Jensen in the back, and it's like, oh, great, there goes my magic user, bastards. So, I kind of left that where it was, and that was yesterday, and I haven't played it since then, but, you know, I'll go back and I'll try it again.
You'll go back. You know. Like I said, it does get a lot better.
Well, that's fine, but, you know, it's going to be really annoying if I get an hour into playing the game and I get disread errors all the time. It's pissing me off that the shittiness of the 360 machine is getting in the way of my gaming.
Yeah, it sucks. I've never got a disc read error, just to throw that out there, but well, that does suck for you.
I know you do, you haven't, but you know, I get them all the fucking time. And since it's not a red ring, I can't get a replacement. So thinking about wrapping the fucker in a towel and turning it on. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm still having issues too. You know, I had the same problems with Lost Odyssey. Not the DRE stuff, but you know, it was locking up, freezing up. And I'm starting to see that in other games now. Half-Life 2, that's been freezing up on me and
that's
getting
good.
Very, very paranoid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's actually to the point, it's actually to the point where I am considering getting, I was originally going to get GTA 4 for the 360. Mm-hmm. I don't know anymore. I think I might be getting it on PS3 because I just,
still.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with it anymore. I'm sick of the shoddy hardware, you know?
That sucks.
Yeah. So that was 360. On PS2, I'll move on to the good role-playing game that I've been playing. Sorry, had to throw that in there.
Can't blame the game if you're already just blaming the system.
Phantasy Star Collection. I did beat Phantasy Star 4.
Congrats.
God, this game is fantastic. Start to finish, it was just absolutely great. And I actually had that sad face moment at the end when I beat it. And I'm like, oh, it's over?
Aww.
I really did. And I mean, I have officially put this game on my top 5 RPG list.
Good.
Of all time. So, Jeff, you really, really should check this game out. I mean, I understand.
I want to.
Yeah. If you haven't, I mean, I really do suggest going through part 1, part 2, and then part 4. But if you can't go through that, then, you know, just playing part 4 will give, you know, you will get a large amount of satisfaction out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause well, yeah, yeah. When I rented it back in the day, I think I only got about 4 hours in or something, 4 or 5.
Yeah. And you know, Jason's right though. The collection that we got from Japan, it helps a lot because they have the very easy mode and it takes away all the grinding. But I really don't think there was a whole lot of grinding in Phantasy Star 4. I remember when I was playing the Genesis collection version, there was some grinding at the very beginning. But after that, I just can't see having to grind very much.
And you know, even if there was, that's fine because the combat's so good.
Oh man, the combat's fantastic. They have the macro system set up so that you can actually choose what you want everybody in your party to do. So it's kind of like the gambits in Final Fantasy XII. It just happened, you know, 14 years ago or however long ago it's been. It hasn't been that long, has it? How long has it been? No, the game came out in 94.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
It has been 14 years. Holy crap. But it also, because you can also do combination spell attacks. And when you set up a macro, you're not only setting up what each character is doing, you're also setting up what order they're going in. And, you know, to do the combination attacks, you actually have to have the two or three or four characters that are doing the combination attack attacking back to back. So you set up a macro and it makes it a lot easier as long as the initiative doesn't go to the enemy in between the two characters that are doing the combo attack, it'll go off. And, you know, some of the combo attacks are really freaking powerful.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. There's one that takes four of your 5 characters and pretty much does 1,000, the max it can, max damage to all enemies on the screen. So, pretty good.
Do you like it better or worse than Final Fantasy VI?
Final Fantasy VI is not on my top 5 list.
Whoa,
so that should answer your question.
There you go.
There is actually
That's the reason Phantasy Star 4 got no love. That is like the only reason. Because of that game.
Mm-hmm. Well, it also came out really late in the game. You know, the game did come out in 94. And by the time, you know, 94 rolled around, you know, Sega was doing all kinds of weird shit. You know, they had, here's the 32X. And, you know, new Saturn system coming out. And, you know, it kind of got overlooked. That and the price tag, the $100 price tag when it was brand new. Mm-hmm. I think that turned a lot of people off, but I would go as far as to say that this is my favorite RPG from the 16-bit era.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're gonna need a lot of responses to that.
that's fine. That's fine. I've played all the good ones. I played Chrono Trigger. Yeah. I played Final Fantasy. I played a lot, the majority of the good ones. And this one just, it really left me wanting more after it was done.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know your
really,
RPGs, man.
I really can't say that about many others. So, But after I beat four, I went back to three, and it was kind of hard at first. It's like, man, three's really not as good as four. As a matter of fact, three's really not as good as two.
Yeah, yeah. Three's supposed to be terrible.
But you know, I mean, it's, I'm kind of getting into it, and, I do really like the idea that they had with three, and I like the premise of it with like the different generations. And, you know, you go through your quest with one character and you decide who that character wants to marry. And then it goes, it branches off to a new quest with the child of that, of those two. So, I mean, there's, I'm pretty sure there's like several different endings because of
did,
that.
I think so.
Did you guys listen to, you guys did listen to that, Retronauts special, the All Fantasy Star one?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Once back. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Actually, that Retronauts got me excited about the Phantasy Star Collection that guy, that came out. Yeah.
Nice. So. Now you got me all excited for it. Now I'm thinking of ordering that in. But then I need to get something for my PS2, right, to play it?
Yeah. The game itself cost me 30-something, mm-hmm. Jason. Was it like 32?
Yeah, 30 plus tax.
Yeah, something like that. And then shipping. The way I did it is I got a flip top and I got... Swap Magic, and that cost mm-hmm. me another 40 total. So it's quite an investment if you're going to go that way. But
yeah,
I mean, if you could always just about it, I mean, that's definitely the best way to go, and it's the easiest way to get through the game. But you know, we still have the Genesis Collection on like
right.
the PSP or something like that. Yeah, that's got the full game on there.
Do you guys know how good that version is?
It's really good. Yeah. It's pretty much the same as what the Genesis was. The one thing I do hear is that there are some music glitches because the emulation's not perfect.
But there's nothing extra though that in the other one, right? So if I just got the PSP version, I wouldn't be missing out on anything. Does it have the extra speed up things and stuff you guys are talking about or no?
Well, it does not have like the very easy mode. Like no, it doesn't have those. Okay. If you want to do like the very easy mode, okay, you know what very easy mode does, right?
It's like
easy mode doubles your experience and your Meseta when you finish a battle, and very easy quadruples it.
Oh, wow.
So
yeah, not to mention your walking speed is increased as well.
And that's actually they also have a boost
in there, but.
I'll tell you what, for Phantasy Star 2, I mean, that very easy mode is a godsend because that game is such a grind.
Slow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a huge grind, and I think I actually mentioned that last week, but for 4, honestly, by the time I got to the end, I thought it was way too easy because I was just cutting through stuff like it was nothing. Mm-hmm. I probably should have played it on easy instead of very easy.
You should. I mean, like I said, the combat's really good.
Oh, so you did play it on very easy.
I did play it on very easy. I was just trying to get through it at this point. I'm probably going to go back and play it again because it was so damn good. But yeah, because I didn't play it when it came out on Genesis. I missed it. Mm-hmm. So this is my first experience with it. I'm so glad I played it.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad you like it. It's one of my top as well.
Yeah, it's definitely up there.
But
and sorry to say, fanboys out there, there's no Final Fantasy on my top 5 list.
Well, that's just your list. It's on my list.
I understand.
There's someone writing.
I would say that it's definitely on my top 10. Final Fantasy VI is definitely on my top 10. But it's not my top 5 because I like the unusual stuff, you know? Skies of Arcadia, Panzer Dragoon Saga, what else? Phantasy Star.
So Guys Rogue Galaxy. Midrift isn't unusual to you?
No, I'm not a big fan of the Midrift.
That's what I'm
saying. Mass Effect has officially gotten a spot on my top 5.
That went right over your head.
No, I heard you. I just choose to ignore it.
He just ignores the criticism. He didn't take it for the joke that it is. It's like, no, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you.
He's like, no, I don't like Midrit. I'm like, that's not what I was saying.
Lay along.
Damn Canadians. Anyway, I also did play, that's right. I also did play a little bit more Crisis Core. Didn't get that far much farther in it. I just played some more of the side missions, and that's pretty much it. And then for PS3, mm-hmm. we all played Warhawk last night.
True.
Warhawk.
Yeah, oh, man. It was fun. Great.
It was really fun.
What did we have? We had like 18 people at one point.
Oh, God, yeah.
Give or take.
We have the room open for 8. Was it max 18, or do we have it set for 20?
I think. I don't know
sure
we had
it set.
I don't know. Targo at one point, he's like, who the hell is hosting this that we have this many people?
Yeah,
and it was Bitch Pig was hosting it.
Yeah, that's
with
time.
His freaking business connection that had no lag that I saw.
Yeah,
thank you so much. I never got a chance to thank him last night or today on the board, but dude, thank you for stepping up and offering to host for us. That's awesome of you.
Yeah, it worked out really well. He did have a hiccup in his connection and it did go down once, but he jumped right back on. We jumped right back in a room and it was, you know, flawless the rest of the way through. So, and we had, at one point, we had literally like 18 people, nine aside, and there was no lag, no nothing. It was just flawless.
Yeah. There are some people that are damn good at that game, man. Bitch Pigs. Oh. Like the Firefox guy, dude, he was tearing shit up.
Firefox was really good. Firefox and RPT. Is it RPT or RTP? I always get them mixed up.
RPT.
I think it's RPT.
Yeah, he is good.
But he was really good. Torgo was tearing it up. Trickman took me down a bunch of times. You know, we were trading back and forth. Yeah. And then let's see, who else was on there? There were a lot of people on there.
A lot of people on there, yeah.
Yeah.
I was just fearful for my life. All I saw was like cannon shells coming at me from Firefox.
Yeah, he's all brutal, I saw. Man.
That was really bad.
That one capture the flag game that we had, I mean, he got the flag all three times. I tried to get it, but I kept running into Jason's fucking mines. I think Jason got like four kills off me because I was like, I'm going to go get the flag. Boom.
That was payback for all the mines that you laid on me.
Those dogfights.
Yeah.
Especially when they're right beside like a power up. I'm like, oh yeah, I get, oh fuck.
Fuck. Bang. And you see it just in time for you to go, oh shit.
Pretty much. But it's the same way with the mines on the ground too, though.
Yeah.
My first time, cause that was my first Warhawk Wednesday. I missed the last two or three or how many it's been. And when I first started, I was like, motherfucker, because the other team, they knew what they were doing. I can't remember what the teams were. I can't remember. It was me and I honestly can't remember. At this point, there was probably, I think it was only like 4-4 or 5-5.
Whichever team like Firefox was on was the winning team, essentially.
Yeah, basically.
That was a trend.
Yeah. And I was just stuck. I kept like getting up in a Warhawk. I get blown away. And then I was getting mad because I figured everyone was spawn camping because you know how you have to get the checkpoints in Warhawk, right? So you spawn.
Yeah.
But we weren't able to get any. And all the other team was doing was flying over that one spawn point we had. And anytime we just spawned, I was like, if it's going to be like this, this is going to suck balls. But luckily, it didn't end up like that. So it was good times.
That's who was doing that to us.
Really?
There was someone that did that to us, to the team that I was on when you guys were on the other team, that camped out with a tank. And it's like, we couldn't get to anything. It was, besides the fact it was like 6-on-4.
Yeah.
And then, like five of you were hoarding the only spawn point that we had. And every 2 seconds it was like, hey, look, I'm going to get to the Warhawk. Boom.
After the beatings that I got prior in the night, I didn't even feel bad, Chris. I didn't feel one bit of guilt.
Jeff, there was a team deathmatch that we were doing, there's actually two memorable moments that I had with Jason. There was one where Jason had just gotten a spawn point, and I ran up in a Jeep and got out of the Jeep, and he was in a Warhawk. And he was shooting at me, and I was hiding behind the flag. So every time he shot at me, it would just bounce off the flag. So as he's circling, trying to get me, I'm like circling around so he can't hit me. And then he flew off. I think someone might have locked onto him or something. But
the Warhawks are really weak against humans on the ground.
Yeah.
Like even if you do hit them with like bullets, it's going to take a lot to kill them. And it's a good thing they did that too, because if they didn't, Warhawks would be way too overpowered, way too unbalanced. Because I remember once I had you pinned down somewhere. Chris, I came around. I was just flying around trying to get at you. And I actually just started firing random missiles at you and stuff like that. Because I'm just like, I'm not going to kill you with guns because they're not doing anything to you.
Yeah, you had me pinned in one of those little hangars.
Yeah.
I spawned and I ran around the corner. I was like, oh, fuck, it's Jeff. And I ran into the hangar and he's circling the hangar firing at me. I'm like, damn it. But there was also a point where I was trying to take a spawn point and Jason was right there. And we both turned around and we both, I had a knife and he had a wrench and I slashed with the wrench and then I died. And I was like, fuck. And then I saw the screen. It said, Shinobishi kills Unistrike with the knife. And then it said, Unistrike kills Shinobishi with the wrench.
They're like, nice.
Double kill.
So we both
I love
killed
those moments
each other
when you like turned around and we're like, oh, it's you. And then time to knife fight. Someone had a wrench. That was awesome.
So we ended up killing each other at the exact same time. It was pretty funny.
Were you guys, I found, like, okay, one thing I have to say is no one, I'm just going to say it. voice chat over the PSN sucks big hairy moose cock. It sucks.
Tell us how you really feel.
It's raspy. It's very shallow. It breaks up a lot. Mm-hmm. People, I'm not sure if people just don't have mics or they just don't talk. Like, cause the only people at one point, just me and Torgo and Trickman occasionally were talking and stuff, but when they were trying to talk, it was just terrible. I'm like, I can like sometimes barely hear them. It would be cutting out the sound once they click in, like to whatever, like to speak. It sounds like people are speaking through one of those, you know, you get like two cups and tie a string. Put attachment with a string and you talk through that. It just sounds like everyone's in
pretty
like
accurate,
a tunnel. It's just
I really think that has a lot to do with the Bluetooth headsets.
I don't I don't use a Bluetooth headset myself, but
well, yeah, but you don't know how you sound.
I have no idea how I sound, yeah.
You sounded pretty good actually, Jeff. I can actually pick out who you were. Your volume was a little low. That's really about it though.
Oh really? Yeah. And Chris, you sound totally different.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I didn't even recognize you.
Yeah, everyone on the Bluetooth headset sounds different, but I could pick you out, as he said, because I didn't get to chat with you much, but between matches, I could tell when you were talking.
Mm-hmm. I never.
And I really do think that's a Bluetooth headset thing, because also remember when we did the whole PSN versus Xbox Live thing, and one of the things that we did was like the video conferencing, and Jason and I were using the PSI microphone.
Yeah,
and it was really good. I mean,
it was.
We could hear each other really well.
However, in Warhawk, it didn't sound so good.
Yeah, in Warhawk, not so good.
Yeah, I would actually go so far as to say that if anybody has just the PSI for a mic, I maybe just not use it because we really can't understand anything that's coming out of it. So,
and screw the Bluetooth headsets, people. Get a USB.
Yeah,
sounds way better.
Well, Jason said that the ones that we're using for the podcast work for the US through the USB port, so I might try that next time.
Yeah,
that's one thing. That's what I was using too. I was using the same one I'm using now. But make sure your USB is plugged into port one because I was my DualShock 3 was almost at a battery, so it was saying warn me to charge it. So I'm charging it through port one, and then port two I had my mic set up, and I would go to the settings on my PS3, and it was picking it up. So I was like, all right, cool. And I was like testing it out; it's working. But in Warhawk, it wasn't working. I couldn't hear anyone. I couldn't say anything. No one was responding. Huh. So I'm like, after about half an hour, I'm like, hey, screw it. I'll just take out the recharger, put in the mic in port one, and all of a sudden it worked.
Really?
So I'm not sure if you can change that somewhere, but yeah.
I'm not sure. I think mine was in like port three or something like that. But
really? Maybe you have to change it in settings, maybe? I don't know. But mine definitely wasn't working in port two. Maybe my port two just doesn't work. I've never even tried the other ones. That is true because actually I've tried recharging my controller in port 2 before and it doesn't work. Hmm. Maybe my port's screwed.
Could be. You never know.
but it was picking up in the settings though.
Right.
I'll look into this somehow.
Yeah.
And also, one more thing. What's up with not being able to message people in that game?
Huh.
Messed up.
Can't message anybody. Yeah, I was like always like, okay. You can message, just not cross game. You can't message anybody. When I first logged on, I see Jay was on title screen, Eamon was on title screen, and I'm like, oh, I just want to message him and be like, all right, cool, let's get room started or something like that. And I'm like, wait a second, like there's no option. I can't message anybody.
Jeff, you're more than welcome to just exit the game and then go back into the cross media bar and then create a message and then send it and then hope that
you can get it.
To check it. Yeah,
that
exactly. is always an option.
Little things like that piss me off.
Oh no, yeah, rightfully so. Rightfully
but
so.
The actual game is. I had so much fun last night. It was awesome. Yeah.
It was a very good night. If you guys have not joined us for Warhawk Wednesday, please do. It was a lot of fun.
Hell yeah.
Vassal has a really good connection, so we had no lag, no nothing. It was just a great time. And
it actually came first for one game. I was like, yeah.
Oh yeah, and you know what happened? I was right behind you. I was right behind you with one. Off by a point. Yeah. And in that very game, I was trying to dodge a missile and I flew through one of those like canyons and
I saw
and hooked a corner
right
real quick and I ran right into another Warhawk and blew up and it said suicide. And I'm like, no!
I'm pretty sure I saw that. That's the mission where we're doing the all Warhawks, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I was chasing you and then it said, Shinobishi committed suicide. I was like, son of a bitch, he stole my kill from him. Of self.
I never purposely commit suicide, I promise. I literally went, I turned my pitch and I hooked around a corner and ran right into someone else. And I have no, I don't remember who it was, but I had gotten hit already a few times, so I couldn't take the hit, but he could. So he didn't die, but I did. So I don't know. It was weird.
Well, good stuff. Warhawk Wednesdays.
It was fun. Lots of fun. Warhawk Wednesdays, please join us.
Please do. And Eamon, right, cool. Dude, I'm sorry. I know that, you know, it was fun with the whole Eamon Sports Arena, but I think we got to move on to a bigger arena.
Yeah.
And this is nothing against you. I love you, man. You know that.
Yeah, but we need the Bitch Pig Sports Arena.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
Sorry, bro.
Very cool. Well, that's my week.
Cool.
Warhawk Wednesday.
Woo. Woo. Okay, you guys ready for some news?
Absolutely.
I think so.
I had quite a bit of news, actually, the last week. Let's start off by, apparently, we're a bunch of psychics here, eh, guys?
I think so.
Especially Jason. His psychic power is kind of a little bit higher than the rest of ours.
I do shit with my mind.
You do. You guys may remember, a few episodes back, actually, it's quite a while ago, we did a show on, like, games we want to see redone or remade for PSN or Xbox Live. And Jason threw out Splatterhouse. Like, I'd love to see Splatterhouse redone, remade.
Definitely.
And, the new cover of EGM, which will be in stores soon, apparently. Splatterhouse remake is right on the cover.
Yes!
Coming to Xbox Live next PSN.
Nice! Yeah. Totally all over that.
Yes, that will be awesome. I think I only played one of them, but I remember it was pretty good. That started on TurboGrafx, right? And then it kind of came over to Super Nintendo Genesis?
Yep.
I think
Genesis first. It may have been on the Master System. Shit.
Really?
I don't remember. I know it was on the Genesis as well, though.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. So, yeah, that's cool. Hopefully extremely some of our other ones come true, or predictions and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Flashback is next.
Other thing that probably wouldn't take, that'd be awesome. Something that probably wouldn't take a psychic to predict, but Nintendo's reporting that they sold over $1 billion worth of hardware last year. $1 billion. So that of course, includes DS and the Wii mainly. And that is a shitload of money, guys.
Shit ton.
That is a shitload of money.
That is tons. Good year for Nintendo.
How's that attach rate?
Yeah, no kidding, eh?
Couldn't help it.
Games aren't doing too well, but damn, are they selling systems.
Isn't that amazing, though, how well the system's doing, but yet the games are just like, eh.
Oh, it's,
you know,
I'm
I mean, they've got
you,
the
like,
first-party stuff, you know, that's great and magnificent, mm-hmm. and then third-party's like, eh, whatever.
Yeah. But let's be honest here. Like, the majority of people who bought the Wii that normally wouldn't buy video games have Wii Sports, and they're pretty much happy with it. So.
Yeah, it's true. And they think that's all
Wii
that's
Sports
on.
Wii Sports Flare.
It's usually the people that call it the Wii Gaming Station.
The Wii Game Station.
Yes, people that work there, like, do you have the Wii Gaming Station? I've heard of that. Huh. Okay.
Also, if you guys are looking for a job, MS looking like they're hiring for Peter Jackson's Halo game. I'm doing game in air quotes because they haven't actually come out and said it's a game, although I'm sure it will be a game.
Game.
Air I love quotes. The air quotes over the radio.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I know. If you guys can see it, it looks pretty homo too, but hey.
But that's just the way Jeff does things.
Exactly. Wait, what? No. Peter Jackson, they have some advertisements out saying they're hiring for Peter Jackson's development team. They're looking for people to be like creative directors, producers, and engineers. So mm-hmm. if you guys are out there and you want a job, if you do enough searching, you'll find it. Probably just go on MS, Microsoft site, or maybe even the Xbox site itself. You might be able to find some links in there. More MS, they're actually putting hundreds of 360 kiosks in children's hospitals around North America. Mm-hmm. They're going to have them set up with, you know, all the G-rated games, also G-rated movies, as well as TV shows. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of cool, kind of given out there.
Well, I think it's a very cool idea. I mean, kudos to them. But these are like demo stations, like stand-up demo kiosks.
They're
not exactly portable. So they can't actually like take it to their room, you know.
No. It's going to be probably like in a main lounging area or something.
Yeah. Right.
Interesting.
But they'll come fresh with a copy of GTA.
Kids fighting over who plays next.
Yep.
So, they'll get GTA in there. That'll be awesome. Parents will love that.
Look what I could do to the to this hooker, mommy.
Oh, man.
Before I die, I just want to have sex with a hooker and then kill her.
Oh, oh, you're so going to hell.
Oh, and you're not.
Yeah, like I said, we'll see you in there. More old school news. Interplay announced Earthworm Jim 4.
Yes.
Hot! And some of the original people are coming back to work on that. No platforms have been announced or release date, but all we know is it's Earthworm Jim 4.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I need to know.
Hopefully going to be good. And tell you the truth, I didn't even know there's an Earthworm Jim 3.
Yeah.
So, and I was a big fan of Earthworm Jim 1 and 2, and I didn't even know there was a 3. It was 3, the 3D one they tried to put out on 64. That was total ass.
That rings a bell.
Yeah, it does. I actually have the only one that I actually own is the one for Sega CD. Because they did that was part one, and it was like a special edition, and I actually hunted it down on eBay and got it.
Hmm.
But yeah,
I played that pretty recently, actually. The first one.
I'm pretty sure it's safe to say that. Sorry, was that Jay?
I was showing it off to my wife, and I'm like, I geeked out. I'm like, you know, this was revolutionary for the time. Blah 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 blah.
It was.
It was though.
24 frames a second. Mm-hmm. It was awesome.
Yeah, it came out for Nintendo 64, Earthworm Jim 3D.
Cool.
Yeah, it was terrible. So I guess it's pretty safe to say that you can look for probably Earthworm Jim on PSN and Xbox Live probably shortly before it's released, which probably won't be for a while, but they usually do that. They usually, whenever there's a new sequel coming out, they usually put the older games on downloadable somewhere or another. So you can look for that. Maybe. So you heard it here first, folks. Earthworm Jim, Xbox Live, PSN.
Let's do it.
Don't hold it to us in case it doesn't happen. We're just gonna throw it out there. Since we're hitting batting 1,000 right now for predictions.
Yeah, let's just leave it at that.
Exactly. Unreal Tournament 3 is gonna be hitting 360 this summer. Some things it's gonna have are exclusive maps for the 360 version. The map packs that were released for PC and PSN will be included, as well as 2-player split screen. Downside is there's no word yet, and all signs point to no about having user created content, which kind of sucks.
Yet.
But hey, if you're really looking for the Unreal Tournament 3, it's gonna be hitting this summer on 360. So pick that up. I'm probably gonna come out in June, I'm guessing.
Really?
June, July-ish.
And you know, really the only thing they're getting is the split screen, right? Because with the user created content, they're just going to get the maps from the 360 version and make them for PC and PS3. So,
yeah,
you know, really all they're getting is split screen.
True that, Holmes.
Well, if anybody's interested in the PC version, I just saw on Steam that they released it for $30 on Unreal Tournament 3. Or you can get all 5 of them, like all Unreal games, for only $45.
Nice.
Hot.
It's a pretty good deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is a good deal. GTA news. Chicago seems to not like their Grand Theft Auto. They have banned all the ads from all the transit and like subway stations and so forth.
Oh, yeah. I heard about this.
Because they're basically saying that it should be treated like a rated R movie or anything that's adult-oriented and shouldn't be put out in public. And have you guys seen these ads? I know and here in Toronto, our subway station, I just noticed this week, has been littered with GTA ads. Is it like that there now?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I haven't been seen any for a while, but that's our that's our subway system here and train buses.
That was another air quote moment.
Yeah,
subway system. Okay, public transportation in Atlanta sucks ass.
Yeah.
Okay.
GTA ads would make it that much better.
I think it would.
But, and I was just gonna say, like, they're not that bad. All they do is show like individual characters, and that's about it.
I have to agree. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think we'd really need to advertise it that much, but
no.
Does it really need any more marketing than it already has?
Yeah. I mean the advertising they did for San Andreas too, didn't they like hire graffiti artists to go out and start tagging stuff? I've seen flyers posted everywhere and, you know, run down buildings and whatnot, just littered everywhere. And so it doesn't surprise me, but I don't know.
Crazy.
Anyway.
We all love a rock band, and it seems that Activision loves the rock band too, because Guitar Hero 4 is going to be coming out with alternative instruments. So they haven't announced what exactly, but I'm pretty sure it's safe to assume there's going to be a microphone and a drum somewhere in there. Big question is, will your Rock Band stuff be compatible with it? No one knows, and knowing Activision, probably not. And based on that, good luck selling that to people who already have Rock Band, because I know I'm not going to go out and shell out hundreds of dollars more for another set of drums and another guitar and another microphone.
Mm-hmm. And why would you? Because all you have to do is get the downloadable content for Rock Band.
Exactly.
You know, it's reasonably priced. They've put new stuff out each week. This week they put out a fucking album.
Yep. Yeah. It's Judas Priest, unfortunately, but I mean, they did put out an album.
They did put out an album. I'm not going to get it, but I like what they're doing. You know, they put out, what was it? It's 10 songs, 9 tracks, and it's $15. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's good. I think that's a good idea. And they keep doing it. So there's no reason to jump on another bandwagon. It's like if Guitar Hero would just, you know, make their downloadable content more reasonable and actually do it on a steady rate, there'd be no reason to put out a 4.
No,
they'd make more money on the downloadable content anyway.
Exactly. I mean, if they want to just throw in with their new stuff, say it's compatible, add drums, add singing, and just throw it in there with the downloadable content, and just have people use their Rock Band stuff. I don't see the big deal. I mean, why are companies fighting over like rights to do with using peripherals when back in the day, if you had a light gun, that light gun worked on any game you played, no matter who made it.
Pretty much.
Controllers usually the same way, but now everyone's got to be all fucking picky. And
I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Have you noticed in if you look at Rock Band compared to Guitar Hero 3, that Guitar Hero 3 seems a lot more stiff with like the instrument playing from the characters?
Yeah.
Totally. I guess I have noticed like, that.
But I do think Guitar Hero 3 looks better overall.
Oh, do you really?
I think I like the style of the guys in Rock Band and the characters in Rock Band stuff, and I think they move around, like you said, more fluid. But I think overall, like if you were to show somebody like which game looks better, I think more people would say Guitar Hero 3. Just because it's more colorful, it pops more, it's kind of
true
in your face.
Yeah, I especially notice it with when they focus on the drums. Because the drummer in Rock Band, whatever drummer you've got back there, the animation is so fluid and so perfect. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when you see the Guitar Hero one, it's like, it's really stiff. It's like, it's like a robot playing the drums. It's really weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, just thought I'd throw that out there.
Okay.
No problem. You can do what you want. We won't hold you back.
I mean, you know,
it's
apparently just your show, you know, I mean.
Exactly.
Why did I know that was going to come up? It's not my show.
We're just here to humor you, Chris. That's all we're here for.
Oh, okay. Well, it's good because I need that kind of shit.
All right.
Continue.
Call of Duty 4 map packs. So wait, now you're telling us when to continue? Is that how it works?
Oh, fuck you both. Just keep going.
So I get it. So we can't continue until Chris says we can continue. You got that, Jason?
When do we get to call him Gwen Stefani?
Ouch. All right, I'm not going to say anything for the rest of the episode.
So then I'll ask, can I continue?
Okay. I say go for it. You know, if you're comfortable with it, Jeff, go for it.
I think I'm ready. I think I'm good.
Yeah.
Cool.
Whatever.
All right. Call of Duty 4 map packs were released a couple weeks ago for Xbox Live. It actually set a record. In 9 days, it sold 1 million downloads. That's the fastest download downloadable content to get into consumers' hands ever. For PS3 fans, actually, the game, I believe it came out today. So this comes out on Monday. So last Thursday, they hit the PSN store. So if you want those, go and pick them up. I believe it's 4 maps. I think it's $10, I think, for the 4 of them. It could be wrong. I'm pretty sure it's 10, but they're supposed to be pretty kick-ass maps. So if you like your Call of Duty 4 and you need some new maps, go grab them. More announcements for games. Midway announced Mortal Kombat versus DC Comics. What do you guys think about this one? I don't.
Fuck me. I don't. I have nothing good to say about it. I love the DC universe. I'm a big comic geek, and hell, I've got a Batman tattoo. So I don't see it. No. Not happy about this.
I
saw some videos and. It I don't know. It doesn't look right.
No.
It's kind of a cool concept. I don't really like DC comics as much as Image characters would have been a better fit just because it seemed like they're more darker and kind of thing. And they probably could have stuck with a mature rating, but apparently this one's going to have a teen rating. So I wouldn't look for any kind of gory fatalities or anything like that. So, Mortal Kombat versus DC. That's no release date yet. People are kind of rumored or kind of projecting that it will be come out this fall, because Mortal Kombat games need to come out pretty quick. So if you're interested, keep an eye on it. I'm sure information will come out soon. Maybe some screenshots, maybe some video. And if you're not happy about it, then you might have something in common with Hideo Kojima. Because apparently he's not too happy with the way that Metal Gear Solid 4's graphics turned out. So you guys read the story, right? It was it was an interview with Famitsu, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's, you know, artist is the most critical on himself, right?
Exactly.
So I think that's what it is.
Yeah, for sure.
And he said he was pushing he said that he was pushing the cell to its limits, and I'm like, no, you're not.
No.
No, you're not. Not this early in its lifespan.
No. Well, every developer says that, right? There's no developer that's going to come out and be like, yeah, you know, we only tap this much about it, like this much of it, especially if it's a third party. Third parties will never say that, because third parties want to be like, they want to get their game like, yeah, this is the machine to its fullest. This is like the best you're going to get. Buy our game. Then the sequel. No, we were just kidding. This is the best it's going to get by our game. And of course, first parties are going to be like, we've only used 5% of our processors, and look how well we did.
Yeah,
because they're going to say that because they want to be like, buy our console. But yeah, it comes down to basically he said in the interview, he kind of was leaning towards, he didn't take a jab at Sony, but he was kind of saying how they were told it could do this, this, and this, and then when they actually got down to it, they only got this, this, and this. They couldn't hit what their actual final goal was. But I mean, it's Hideo Kojima is kind of like the Peter Molyneux on the Sony side of things. Kind of says like what he wants, and he wants these ridiculous high expectations, and then says a little bit too much, and then by the time things finish, he's like, yeah, you know, it's not what I originally envisioned, which was ridiculously, what's the word I'm looking for? Ambitious. Not really going to happen. Right. But yeah, I mean, it looks good to me.
Now the question is, does Peter Molyneux actually come out and say, I didn't actually reach all these goals?
Yeah.
He does? Okay.
He did for Fable, first Fable.
Yeah.
He
had a public apology. He's like, I'm sorry, we promised all this stuff, and you know what? We couldn't do it. Maybe in the next game.
And that's why with 2, he's been like, he's basically said when it was announced, we're not going to say anything about the game, because look what happened last time. And he's just been announcing stuff as he knows it's going to happen.
Swear you guys can plant a tree next time. I swear to God.
I noticed that he's only showing off. He's only saying that the game will do what he's able to show off right now.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's probably a good approach.
Yeah. And I mean, Kojima didn't even say Metal Gear was going to do certain things. I think he just had in his mind these ridiculously high expectations.
Yeah,
I think you're right. But you're right before too.
And I think
it takes a special breed of person, special breed of developer to be able to, you know, come out and say, yeah, I'm just not as happy with my game as I would have, you know, liked it to be. You know, I think anybody other than him, the publisher would have been on their ass.
Oh God,
saying, not release this. Not the game itself, but don't release that like press statement.
Exactly,
right.
Because you know what, you're going to affect our sales. But I mean, Metal Gear Solid 4 is huge, so I don't.
Yeah,
think
it's really huge. And also, he had this interview with a Japanese magazine, which. Yeah. No knock on us North Americans, but I'm sure in Japan this didn't cause an uproar whatsoever. But in here, it's all like, oh my God, the graphics on the PS3 suck for Metal Gear Solid 4. Oh my God, it's over.
Oh,
Metal Gear Solid 4 is going to suck. It's going to blow. 360 for the win.
Yes.
Yeah. People just blow it out of proportion. And really huge news, big news. I know you guys are waiting for this.
Cool.
Football season is going to start up pretty soon, right? Where at least preseason is going to start. I don't even fucking know. I don't even know when the hell football preseason starts. Just kind of making shit up as I go along.
Hey, I just went to a football game this past weekend.
Did you?
Are you talking about soccer,
Jeff? No, I'm talking about the American football.
Oh, you guys call it football up there too? Cool. Okay.
Yes, just we checking. Do. We do. Well, anyway, remember how back in the day we had that story, how I told you guys NFL head coach was only going to come in as a pack-in? Remember, I told you guys that, and you guys were really disappointed because you're like, oh my God, I can only get head coach if I buy Madden Special Edition 09. That's the only way you guys can play it.
Yeah,
guess what, guys? Guess what?
What?
Tell me.
EA has changed their mind. They're going to release a standalone NFL head coach. Hey, get this. $19.99.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And you don't have to buy Madden.
Sign me up.
I'm going to have to put my money towards that instead of Splatterhouse or something.
It makes sense. It makes sense. You know what? Don't buy GTA next week. Just in case you don't have the money.
Right.
Good idea. You know, I was really excited for Bionic Commando Rearmed, but fuck that now. I got NFL Head Coach.
That's
awesome. You find these, like, hidden gems of the internet.
I know. I mean, this I honestly don't news, know how I do it. I
didn't see this out there. And then you know, polish them up and present them to us, and we're like, thank you.
Yes, it's true. When all the rest of the world is most likely like, what's it? How's that saying go?
Who gives a shit? Okay, that one was our worst one ever.
I don't even think Chris said
it's
it.
Like, we keep getting worse.
And that was the news for the week, guys.
Thank you, Jeff.
That was everything.
We really need to work on that.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we should do something about that.
The listeners are probably out there and they hear the stories and they're like, just say who gives a shit already and get on with it.
They know right away. They're like, oh, shit.
I know. It's like, see, what we need to do is we need to start putting the who gives a shit story in the middle of the news.
Ooh.
That's ooh. Cool.
Shake that would change up. Things up a bit.
All right, they would never know we're time. Doing that. They would have no clue.
All right, cool. Let's take a break then.
All right.
Let's do it.
After we come back, we'll talk about the used game market, and then we'll do new releases and emails and new question of the week, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully. So hang tight, and we'll be right back.
All right.
Word out. It's time to wake up.
Wednesday. Game Fans Interactive Distractions presents the 125th Annual Warhawk Wednesday, exploding into action this Wednesday and every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time at the Amen Sports Arena. Come see world-famous pilots Unistrike.
Ah, fuck. Ah, shit. Ah, fuck.
Chino.
Hey, I'm getting pretty good at this.
And the Canadian Flying Ace, Goffy.
Son of a bitch, I forgot about that.
With special guest, Nabo.
Hello? Is this fucking thing on?
Watch in wonder as Torgo annihilates Unistrike again. And again. And again.
Hi, Unistrike.
Warhawk Wednesday. It's awesome.
Presented by Interactive Distractions and VG Evo.
And we're back.
Oh, thank you.
We are back.
Yep. You guys up for this?
What, the podcast thing?
We got this whole podcast thing that we're supposed to be doing.
Well, we're here already, I guess.
Yeah, people like to listen to us talk. I don't understand why.
Last time I heard that, I got in a lot of trouble.
Especially when we're trying to say who gives a shit. Still can't get that right. 23 episodes. We still fucked that up.
Next week, I'm going to be like, who gives a fuck? Oh, fuck.
Oh, shit. Oh, fuck.
Oh, shit. I mean, yeah, shit. Shit.
All right. Well, we are talking about the pre-owned game market and mm-hmm. how it's affecting the industry, if at all. Mm-hmm. And I know that this was a big one. So, Jason, I'm going to pass it to you because I'm sure we got some emails on this.
I'm going to take it and run with it. Not very fast, but because we only have like 3 emails on it, but they're kind of long ones. Anyway,
that's fine.
Aces High writes, well, it's been a while, and I would first like to say hello to everyone.
Hello.
Word up.
There you go. All right. So it's question of the week time again. Well, let's get to it. Pre-owned games. Something that may seem harmless to the average consumer, but it's far from it. A sense of really like dark and ominous tone to this. When a pre-owned game is bought, all the profit is made by, let's say, GameStop. None of the profit is sent to the publishers or the developers who actually pay to market the game and develop the game. Without profit, publishers will take less chances, which means more sequels of proven franchises, less originality, and more faceless space marines. All in all, buying pre-owned games just hurts the industry as a whole. Thank you, Aces High.
Cool. Well, where do we start? I agree with him, but I mean, there's another way to look at it too. And that's that, you know, the person trading in that game is also turning around and more than likely buying a new game.
Bullshit.
No?
Bullshit. They're turning around. They're buying another used game.
Well, in some cases, but you know, there's a lot of people out there that are like, oh, this game just came out. I'm going to buy it. And they beat it as quickly as possible. That way they get maximum amount for it when they trade it in.
And if they're penny pinching that much, you know, if they're that concerned about, you know, making $10, $15, maybe $20 back on the game that they just brought in, they're more than happy to jump at the opportunity to save $5 on buying another used game.
also, people that tend to do that to get pick up brand new games, they'll trade in more than one game. So they're trading it, they'll bring in three or four games. Yep. So sure, they may be picking up one new one, but they're putting four used ones on the shelf for other people to buy that are going to miss out on buying a brand new game.
Correcto.
Just going from experience here.
Well, and you know, I'm not disagreeing with you guys either. I'm just trying to think of it a different way.
No, yeah,
and,
totally.
You know, but there are the people out there that do just buy new games. I mean, they had the survey that went out a while back, a couple weeks ago, I think. They were talking about how many people actually buy nothing but new games, and mm-hmm. how many people buy nothing but used games, and then how many people buy a little of both. And I think the people that bought nothing but new, it was like 20-something%.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that bought nothing but used was only like 2-3%.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, it wasn't that many. And most of the people were clumped together in the, you know, buy used or new market. You know, and that's kind of where I am too. I mean, I buy used games, you know, but most of the time if I buy a used game, it's one that's been out for a while.
Yeah. Or they were just too lazy to pay the extra $5 and too lazy to take the survey. Maybe that.
Well, that's true. Like that's I would fit in the new games. I rarely ever buy used games. And like you, Chris, when I do buy a used game, it's usually when I can't find that game new anywhere. Cause I'm, yeah. like I said, I'm a package whore. I like to have stuff brand new. So I don't care if a game's $20 brand new and $7 used. I'd rather have the new version just cause I'd rather no one's fucked with it. And I don't like those greasy stickers all over the place.
Yeah.
I try to peel off and get that white crap. And yeah. So
yeah, that's true.
Cool. But also a cool thing though is some series I wouldn't have bought later editions of if it weren't for the fact I bought a game used. So that way is kind of, it can kind of help out. Like, I mean, Ratchet and Clank. I never would have bought Ratchet and Clank Future if I didn't buy Going Commando way back in the day used because it was like $5 and it didn't have it new. And I was like, wow, these games are actually pretty good. And then I ended up buying the PS3 one because I liked the one for PS2. So they gained a sale by not getting a sale.
That's true.
Hmm.
Cool. All right, I'm going to keep on keeping on with the emails because they're all kind of the same theme. Ravenblade writes, well, since the question was my idea, I thought I'd better answer it. When I posted the original thread about pre-owned games market on VG Evo, it was a poll to see if people just buy games new or pre-owned. But this question for Indus was more about the effect that it has on the gaming industry. The fact that retailers sell secondhand games, I don't have a problem with. And I totally understand that a lot of people want to buy things as cheap as they can. Money doesn't grow on trees. Well, at least not yet, but I'm working on that.
Let us know when you get that.
Center where I do secret money tree research. Back on topic, though. Retailers make massive amounts of profit from selling pre-owned games, and none of it makes its way back to the guys who actually made the game. The pre-owned market clearly does reduce the profit that developers make because after a couple of weeks, you can easily walk into a store and buy the game pre-owned instead of buying it new. And how many people will pick the cheaper option? Lots, I assume. Anyway, also lately, there's been a bit of talk about publishers not pushing the advertising of console games post-launch. And it occurred to me, why the hell would a publisher spend more money on advertising a game post-launch when they know full well all that will do is help line the pockets of the retailers even more with pre-owned game sales?
Exactly.
All the talk we hear about console games having a short lifespan and that if they don't sell a ton of copies in the month, they are counted as a flop. I'm starting to think that that's a result of pre-owned market to some degree. Let's take Folklore, for example. That game sold like crap. If you look at NPD numbers, etc. But how many people have ended up buying it at a later date to give it a try, and it's been a pre-owned copy? Maybe retailers should be giving the developer, publisher of our games a cut of that massive profit that they make, even if it was only, say, 5% of the profit. How much of that would help the industry? Would publishers push the advertising of games more? Would it mean less developers have to shut down because they aren't making any money out of the games? Personally, I think things need to change. But until they do, I'm going to keep buying my games new so that my money goes to the guys making the games. Thank you, Ravenblade.
Mm-hmm. You guys have good points. I mean, that's a good idea. If like they somehow would be able to get retailers to do that. The problem with that is would be the domino effect of any other pre-owned business at all. Because if retailers have been like, you know what, we'll give up a certain percentage to pre-owned pre-owned sales back to the publishers, then you're going to have the same thing in stuff like TVs or any kind of electronics or furniture for that matter. Why won't they be like, hey, wait a second, they're doing it for this. Why can't we get some money back from this shit that's already been used? And
yeah,
and let's be honest here, retailers are not ever going to do that. It would be nice, but why would they be like, no, man.
Well, I mean, I think the market for that is smaller, though, don't you think? For like other things like electronics and things like that. I mean, you have, sure, you can go to a pawn shop and get like a used whatever you want, but you know, there's not actual stores that sell used receivers. At least not that I know of.
You can get used, like, well, not at like Best Buy or Future Shop or like any big retailers, but you go to smaller ones and like I've seen they've used stuff.
Yeah. I agree, Chris. Yeah. It, with high ticket items like that, it's tough to have a kind of a casual market, you know, like,
right.
Because this is such a big deal for like GameStop. You walk into the store and you're just bombarded with all of their pre-owned stuff, you know? They're pushing it hard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very big time. Hard. If you go up there with a new game, they'll ask you, hey, we have this used for $5 cheaper. Like,
yeah.
When I worked at EB, I was told to push the used stuff. I'm like, I don't want to push the used stuff. Fuck that. And they had actually, like, when I was buying stuff at the store I worked at, I'd be like, you know, we have this used, right? I'm like, I know. Are you sure you don't want to use one? I'm like, dude, no, you know me. I don't buy you. No, fuck off. Give me my game. I'm willing to give you an extra $5.
Yeah.
And because like the markup on games is terrible for retailers. They get like hardly anything per game sold. They make all their money off accessories.
Yeah.
So it's, I can see why they do it as a retailer, but it's going to eventually it might even come back to bite them in the ass. Cause they're going to like, they promote trade and they have trading deals all the time. Trade in these three games, get this game for free. Do this, they're gonna like get so much used crap. And then what happens if the developers, like, I'm surprised developers haven't been like, you know what, digital download all the way, because we didn't even think about this in our digital download thing, but because that way the retailers aren't getting anything and you can resell something that's digitally downloaded.
Right. Well, we kind of saw that just recently. Patapon was put out on PSN, and I think the price was like $21.99 or something like that. Some like really odd, obscure price. And I think it's because GameStop kind of stepped up and you know, gave them some flack about it. Like, you can't make this cheaper. You know, this is going to kill us. You know.
Yeah.
This is just a road we don't want to go down. Blah blah blah. The shitty thing is that, you know, they have to listen to the retailer. You know, because they're the ones moving the product.
Yeah. You know?
Ravenblade brought up the game store, the used game store that would actually give money back to publishers. And that was something that I was going to bring up too.
Yeah.
Cause I think that's a really good idea. And not only, would you actually be helping the publishers, but I would bet that the fact that you would be giving some of that money back to the publishers would actually help them. They would be more inclined to back you.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's like if the three of us opened up a game store and told all these publishers, hey, we're going to sell used games, but we're going to give you guys part of the profits that we're making for these used games because you made the game and you deserve it.
Right.
Then I'd be willing to bet that a lot of publishers would, you know, show some sort of appreciation, whether it be, you know, whether it be shipping directly to you or, you know, something else. I'd be willing to bet they would do something. Because, I mean, Jeff mentioned it that, and, you know, Jeff, you worked at GameStop, right?
I worked at EB Games.
Right. Well,
same shit.
EB Games gets directly from the publisher, I believe. Is that correct? Yeah. Or do you know?
I believe so, yeah. Well, no, they do, yeah.
The store that I worked at.
They have like a central warehouse.
They have a central warehouse, but they
right. I think larger titles are shipped directly.
Yeah. The store that I worked at didn't have that luxury. We had to go through a distributor. Oh, so the amount that you made on a new game was even less. I would say that the average amount that we made on a new game sale profit was probably like $7.
Yeah. I'm surprised it was even that high.
Yeah. I mean, it was anywhere between $5 and $7. And then if you turn around and you consider the amount of time that, you know, that the sales rep is there, or, you know, if you consider the hourly wages and then you cut into all that, I mean, it even gets lower. And I mean, that's why that, I mean, it was almost impossible to run a store only selling new games.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why GameStop has, you know, and EB Games has all the accessories. You know, I pulled a stint there as well. And, you know, we were always told that, you know, we do not make money on games. It's always the accessories. And,
yeah.
And, you know, they likened it to, you know, Walmart or something like that. You know, they can charge, you know, X dollars less than, you know, everybody else. But that's because they're making their money on, you know, other things. $10 t-shirt, you know.
Exactly. And another thing is that doesn't help is the fact that you walk into an EB GameStop or anywhere that sells used games, and their used games usually $5 less than the new ones. It's not that big of a deal. Like, I don't ever, that's another reason why I don't buy used games right away, is because there's not a big enough price difference.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's, they're killing people like that. It's like, okay, you know what? $5 cheaper, get it used. And like, if the retailers maybe, because usually when you see games on sale, it's not because the publishers are saying, okay, guys, hack that price down. It's because retailers are getting rid of stock.
Mm-hmm.
So if they, the thing is, the problem, I guess I was going to suggest maybe publishers say, you know what, games launch at $59.99, and then after a certain amount of time, they get cut down in price.
Yeah.
Like, cut it down. But the problem with that is, if that becomes known to people, then they're going to be like, I'm just going to wait.
In the beginning.
Exactly. Yeah. It's going to bite them at the beginning of sales. And that's, and Ravenblade mentioned the whole thing about advertising post-launch. But I don't, if you guys know, so movies are the same way. Before a movie comes out, you're going to get bombarded with advertisements everywhere. But
it's
once
all
that
about
movie's
the
out,
opening weekend.
Yeah, it's all about the opening weekend. After that, after that opening weekend and opening week, you rarely ever see a preview or anything for that movie.
Yeah, you do see them, but they're just much more
more spaced out. Yeah. Exactly, and that's because entertainment-wise, people are more impulse buyers. They want something, they want it right away. And those people, they know the people that they're advertising, they're paying all this money to advertise for, are going to buy it in the first week. And after that, it's not worth the money to keep advertising, because the sales aren't going to equal like what they're putting into advertising if they want to keep advertising all the time. So, I mean, I don't think that would really help the retailers in that perspective at all. I don't think any kind of advertising would help anyway.
The one thing that you mentioned about actually dropping the price out after a certain amount of time, I think that wouldn't be as bad of an idea as you might think, because it's the same idea. Yeah, I can wait a little while and get it used for this price. But if the retailer nipped that in the bud, not the retailer, if the publisher nipped that in the bud and said, instead of letting them wait for a used copy, we're going to drop the new copy $10 after a month or something like that.
Yeah.
And that would actually take away from a lot of the used game market.
I was going to say, because you got a good point, because the same people that would wait for that used game were the same people that would wait for the price drop
the
anyway.
New game price
so
drop.
It wouldn't make a difference.
True. Yeah, so it would be, and then the money would still be going back to the publisher.
No,
it might be less money, but it would still be going back
but
to the publisher.
Something, right?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. And do you guys remember way back in the day when PS3 wasn't even announced yet, but there's a rumor that they're going to put some kind of thing in it, so the games had to be, like, they were encoded to a system.
They couldn't
pre-owned you
games.
Couldn't resell games. You couldn't previously resell games, and there's a huge uproar that, like,
oh yeah,
there
was
that.
A DRM type
a
thing
DRM
on
thing.
The disc.
Yeah, they're thinking of rolling out. But do you think that would be a good idea or no?
No, because that would kill the rental market too.
Yeah, it would totally kill the rental market.
So, and you know that, I mean, the publishers do make a good amount of money off of the rental market, because they have to buy, however many copies, tons of copies of games, especially the big, huge titles like Grand Theft Auto. How many copies do you think I could find next week when I walk into Blockbuster?
Probably a lot.
Yeah.
Actually, they've been cutting down. I don't know about your guys, but my area of Blockbuster has been kind of being chintzy on the copies. Like when Halo 3 came out, I think they had maybe 7 or 8, and like big games like that. When even Gran Turismo, I figured they'd have like crap ton. They had 2. I was like, you have 2 copies of this? And Burnout Paradise, and they had one for each system. I was like, wow.
Well, I really don't think that like Blockbuster is doing well with game rentals anymore, because Gamefly is killing them. You know, and you know, Gamefly is a great deal. I mean, Jason uses it. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually see more when I go into Blockbuster now. I actually see them they have like pre-order stuff up for selling the games.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's like, what's that about?
Well, Blockbuster's got their online stuff too, and they've been pushing that very heavily. And Jeff's absolutely right. They are stocking a lot less, you know, in store, and they have been pushing, you know, online sales and, you know, pre-order stuff.
Just weird.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
But that's our next business project. We're going to open up a game store that sells used games that actually gives money back to the publisher.
Yeah. I'm totally down with that. I would even go so far as to say I will give more money to the people that are selling them.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know what? They're not getting shit for these games right now. It's ridiculous. Yeah. You go in there and you try and trade in a game. And, you know, I it's so funny watching people walk in there with just like stacks of games.
Bundle, yeah.
You know, and you know, they're toppling over. And, you know, they're going through the list and it's like $2, $5, mm-hmm. you know, $10.
$1.50.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, that's the way it is, too, because when I worked for the game store I was at, it was, you know, it was it's just about half value most of the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I used to change things around. It's like I would, you know, if they had everything, I might give them a little bit more. Because a lot of times, you know, I was working there during the Super NES and the Genesis days, and people would just walk in with cartridges and that's it. Yeah. You know, they didn't have the instructions of the box and shit like that. But so I would actually turn around and give them a couple dollars more if they had everything, mm-hmm. you know, because it's like, hey, I appreciate the fact that you actually take care of your junk, you know? It's,
yeah.
But
I always hated that, man. When I worked a little bit of sidebar, when I worked at EB, I'd always, I was opener basically. So it would suck when I was the only person in there and there'd be some people in the store and somebody would walk in with a big box of N64
games, yeah.
no boxes, and I had to key in every single one of them. I want to kill those people. And then especially when I ring it all in, they're like, okay, cool. I just want to know how much it was. Okay. And then they take their box. And
oh,
like,
I hate that kind of shit.
You motherfucker, I'm keying your car. Or
your bike. If I could leave the store right now.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go to another email here.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. This is from Ricky Duty. Pre-owned games damaging the industry? Yes and no. I'm sure that the companies make more than their fair share from the initial sales of the games. It does bother me that they won't make much extra sales because of pre-owned games, but that's later down the road after the initial spike of the launch sales have died down. Even if they do lose a bit of sales, I don't think that the game companies will stop making the games, and we won't stop buying them. As a personal preference, I do not buy pre-owned games unless I have to. For example, when I went to buy a game that is no longer in production because it's like 4 years old, or if I go to GameStop and the only copy they have of the game is a used copy. I have no patience for waiting for shit, so I'll take what I can at the moment. Why do I prefer this? Because I have bad luck with pre-owned stuff, and it always seems to break for me. Anyway, keep up the good work, Holmes. Signed, Ricky. Well, let me point out one of my fears here. And you go and you look for a copy of a game, and all that they have are used copies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're sitting on five copies of, say, BioShock or something like that. You know, let's rewind a little bit. Let's say that the game was still really, really hot. And all they have are used copies. Now, what's preventing the store from reordering new copies? I mean, why should they? You know, they're sitting on a full stock of games as far as they're concerned, you know? And that's one of the big areas that I think it really does hurt the industry.
Yeah.
Know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. But Ricky does have a point though. I mean, most of the sales and the money, the revenue does come within like the first couple of weeks of a launch.
Right.
And it is kind of just, but at the same time, there are those number of people. Like I knew a few people when I worked at EB who would come in every single day after when Grand Theft Auto Vice City came out. This one guy came in every single day, sometimes twice a day to see if there's a used copy. And all he was saving was, I think it was like $6. And I was like, and this guy was like a guy, he bought a lot of used games at times. So it wasn't like money was an issue. He just wanted the games used. He was, I guess, really stingy with money. And
Chris, I don't mean to call you out, but you bought Lost Odyssey, right? You bought that used.
Go for it.
They had it new in stock at the time, right? Like, didn't they like call you and like let you know? Like you were waiting.
Because he doesn't want to give money to Microsoft.
Right? That is correct. Explain your actions.
Yes.
Explain them again during the show, during when it's...
I've explained them before.
Damn it.
I've explained them during the show. I don't like giving Microsoft money. I don't think they deserve my money. Now, I do think that Mr. Walker does, but I can't give Mr. Walker money without giving Microsoft money, so... I know, it sucks. It's a double-bladed sword.
I personally think that is ridiculous, but...
Well, that's fine. But this, it's my opinion. So that's just the way I feel.
I'm not gonna argue with you.
I don't like the way that Microsoft does business, and I don't like the fact that everything they put out seems to be shoddy. I mean, I've been shitting on Vista since I got it a week ago. You know,
so you're going to relate Vista directly to their video game console business?
Well, okay, yeah.
That
and what about
nothing
their console?
To do with it,
because it's much better.
No,
because the disk readers are so much better than my Vista problems.
No, no, Chris, that's a bit shitty, yes, but that has nothing to do with how good the games are that they're providing. The fact that they're throwing money around to secure exclusives for their console that they couldn't get last generation. The fact that they're putting a lot of money into it. So you bypass all that stuff that they're doing for the gamer, trying to be like, you know what, we want our console to have these games. We're going to put put out a shitload of money. But you're going
to
sit there because they put out Vista.
I'm glad that they want their console to
give them $5.
I'm glad that they want their console to have those games, but I would like my console to play those games. So they're throwing all this money out to get these games, but I can't play them. That's what I'm getting at. They need to put more money into fixing the shit that's broken.
And you don't
and not
think
worry. What's that?
You don't think by them giving everyone a 3-year warranty?
They don't have a 3-year warranty. They have a 3-year warranty on the red ring.
For the red ring. Exactly.
Yes. They
but
don't. They
is,
don't solve
that
my
is
problem.
The majority of what's wrong with it. Whatever disk read errors and anything can happen to anything. It happens with any kind of anything that reads a disk can get those errors at any time. It's technology. Anything could crap out at any time. My TV can explode at any second. Well, it probably wouldn't explode, but
no, I don't.
You know what I mean? It's shit. Shit can happen.
No, what I'm getting at is it's a common problem. I mean, I'm not the only one getting.
I've never once got a disk read error ever,
and that's fine. But I'm not the only one who's gotten it. You know,
no,
I get it repeatedly.
Not.
I get it repeatedly. And, you know, so their 3-year warranty with air quotes again, that doesn't help me. It doesn't help Jason with the problem he's having with his system. You know, my reasoning behind what I do, and I, you know, don't get me wrong. I have bought games brand new for the 360. It's not like I don't, but, you know, it was a personal choice. It's not like I was itching to play the game so badly that I couldn't wait, you know, and it's like, Dynasty Warriors 6. I'm going to buy it, but I'm not going to pay $60 for it. If I can find it for like 35 bucks, I'll pay that. You know, it's a personal choice. And I mean, I personally think that Microsoft is spending too much money trying to get games on their console and not enough getting their console working.
This is totally a tangent.
That is
by
what
the
I'm
way.
Saying.
Totally.
Yeah, it is. It is very much a tangent. And I apologize, but that's. You know, that's where I am with
Chris
it.
Fanboy rant is over. We're moving on.
That's right.
What were we talking
moving
about?
Moving on. Next. Oh, it's a free
games.
I have no
even,
idea.
Even taking Lost GameStop Odyssey. Out of the Lost equation, Odyssey. You still have to worry about eBay.
Mm-hmm. And Amazon as well.
You know, because, yeah, does it? Oh, yeah, Amazon too. Amazon has links to used
stuff.
Copies of stuff.
They sure do. Absolutely.
And they do it with just about everything. I mean, books, CDs, all kinds of stuff.
They do indeed.
Movies.
Well, I do buy used games here and there. For the most part, I will go out of my way to spend the extra $5. You know, if it's a title that you know that is brand new, that I really do think deserves the money. But I don't want to say I'm notorious, but you know, I love sifting through all the old titles. You know, trying to find good deals. Mm-hmm. You know, I found Crimson.
Yeah.
Damn, what was it? Crimson Skies. Yeah,
Crimson Skies.
Like $2. And I'm like, hell yeah, I'm getting that. You know, I probably should have paid the $15 or whatever to get it, you know, to support, you know, the digital download thing, you know, that I'm so into. But, you know, that's a huge difference there.
Oh, I forgot they had that in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And usually when I buy used games, it's, I wait until they're doing some sort of special.
Mm-hmm.
Like I actually bought Blue Dragon over the weekend.
Oh, cool.
Because they were doing 25% off all 360 games, all used 360 games. And then if you have an Edge card, it stacks on the Edge card. So I got like 35% off. I got Blue Dragon for like $20.
Oh, nice.
You know, and Blue Dragon's one of those games that, you know, I kind of want to play it, but if I didn't, it wouldn't kill me. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that I buy used games for.
Yeah, it's the only time I'll buy a used one. I was going to say, it's the same thing as if it's a game that I know I would never buy new in the first place, and then I'm just like, maybe I'll just try it out, whatever, and it's cheap enough where it's not worth renting, because I might as well just own it for a few dollars more. That's like usually the only time I'll ever buy a used game, and it's pretty rare for the most part.
For the record, I have bought more games new for my 360 than used.
Really?
That's cool, man. Yes. We're past then.
I know. I'm just saying for the record.
But how many of those were like, you know, deals like, that you got like on like, your balls. eBay and Amazon?
How many of those are published by Microsoft?
I don't know.
Well, the point that I was trying to come around to is, you know, the consumer end. You know, I mean, yes, granted, it's great that, you know, we want to help the industry and, you know, make sure that all the money's going in the right places. But God damn it, this money's coming out of my wallet and I want the best deal as possible as well. And Jeff made the point earlier that, you know, because he bought a used copy of Ratchet and Clank way back in the day, he's now a fan of the series and he, you know, bought a new copy later on, you know. Have a different title.
That's when the whole music thing happened with Napster and everything. People were saying, oh, it's people are downloading free music. And I actually never got into music more. So, like when Napster came out, I got huge into music and that made me buy so many more CDs than I normally would. It was retarded. Mm-hmm. Like I bought CDs. I'd listen to a new band and be like, hey, I'm going to download another song of theirs, see if I like it. And I'd love it. And I'd be like, hey, I'm going to go buy the CD. So it kind of had a reverse effect on me, whereas I was downloading a lot of free music. Yes. But I was listening the songs I downloaded and didn't like, I wouldn't buy the CD in the first place. So that's good. Didn't waste the money on it. And then other times I download songs and I bought a crap load of other CDs I would never buy because I found out I did like the music.
Yeah. But I mean, I have to agree with Jason too, as far as, you know, the money issue. Gaming is an expensive hobby.
Shit. Hell yeah.
And we do a lot of it. So,
I had to get married just to get a PS3.
Every once in a while.
Oh, damn. I'll be paying that for the rest of my life. My God.
But you know, I mean, I buy a shit ton of games, and you know, I try and get deals when I can. So sometimes that requires me to buy used. I don't always like doing that, but
like I said, I do understand the plight of, you know, developers and publishers, and I do try very hard to make sure that it's going to where, you know, I think it should go. But at the end of the day, man. What the hell can I do?
It's all about paying the bills.
That's right. Yeah. And we're all going to buy GTA.
You guys understand my plight. I'm buying that brand new. Yeah.
Yeah. At this point, I'm very frustrated with my 360, and I'm probably going to get the PS3 version, but I will be buying it new.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Indeedy.
Do we have any kind of conclusive statements or anything?
Yeah, it's bad for the industry. I mean, it is, but
bad for the industry,
it's good
but
for
not
consumers,
going anywhere, basically, right?
I don't think it's destroying it.
I don't think it's destroying it.
In the
either.
Past couple episodes, that it's, you know, it's destroying the industry. I don't think it's destroying it. I think in some small ways it does kind of help because it keeps people gaming and it keeps people, you know, it already introduces them to new stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it's ridiculous the amount of money that GameStop is making. I mean,
oh yeah, they're making money hand over fist.
Ridiculous! I think they quoted like something 50-60% of their profit was just from the used games.
Yeah.
That they're bringing in. And that's an unreal friggin' number. I would like to see that readjusted somehow. And you know what? Perfect scenario would be, I think, in my eyes, to, you know, give some of the money back to the developers. I guess. I don't know how they'd track that or
how they do that, yeah,
or enforce that or anything like that.
It'd be very difficult to enforce. It would be a scenario where you'd have to just, you know, it'd have to be okay, I trust you, you know. I mean, there's really not a way to, I mean, I guess there is if they track all their sales and stuff, and you know, they have to report that, but if you don't have to report it, then you know, how are they going to track it?
Well, I also know that if I was a publisher, Jesus, man, I would be hopping mad. Seriously, I would be so pissed off, you know, because, you know, people that, you know, probably would have bought my game brand new and increased my sales, you know, ensured that I had a paycheck and kept me working in the industry. You know, if those sales are going somewhere else, I'd be pissed.
Well, you know, yeah, you know what I think? I think it's a good thing that Walmart is still the largest seller of video games.
Yeah, because they don't sell used.
Because they don't sell used. And they still sell more than GameStop.
Yeah.
True.
Well, we know it'd be worse, though. I'm sure, like, publishers are complaining about the pre-owned industry, but how do you think they feel about piracy? Hey, you like that setup, Chris? You like that setup? That was for you, buddy.
I think you blew your load too early.
Yeah.
You're doing really good with the transition. Then you're like, you like that, huh Spike? You like that?
No, it's...
You like that transition?
You like that set? No? You weren't ready?
Why, Jeff, that does pose a very intriguing question.
And he lobbed it over the plate, but there's not a batter at the plate yet.
Damn it. I was waiting that entire, like, half an hour.
No, really, it does pose an interesting question. And I think maybe perhaps we should have a question similar to that on the next question of the week. That was a very good idea, Jeff.
Yes, it was, Jeff. We should probably visit that. Mm-hmm. And we will later on.
All right.
Perhaps next week.
Perhaps next week.
Let's see how much longer we can drag this
conversation. Yeah. So I take it we're done with the feature.
I don't know. I figured that's why I threw it up there. I was like, are we going to start going around in another circle? I was going to get into the whole thing. There's going to be too many sequels, and because we didn't really touch on that subject. I was like, crap, if we start talking about that, there's another 10 minutes.
See, that's the thing. I don't even know if that's necessarily an issue now, because look at all the new IPs that have come out.
Yeah. Oh, I know. They've been great.
Yeah. So, I mean, the new IPs are going to have sequels now, of course, but, you know, I think it'll be a regular rotation. We'll have this, like, flux of new IPs every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
This is what gamers want, you know?
Exactly. And new IPs that they can download to their PSP. Hey, Chris.
What the fuck, man?
Fuck this.
You're trying way too hard, man.
Back. I missed you guys.
Couldn't stay away, could you?
No, I couldn't.
All right, have we exhausted this issue now?
Yes, as per the usual.
Is Jeff there?
Yes.
Okay. That was a very sulking yes. Yeah. You guys suck. I'm still here.
Chris, can you let us know what the new question of the week is going to be?
Yeah, Chris, can you? That'd be awesome.
I can.
We're going to follow protocol, damn it.
Is piracy hurting the industry?
That is a great question.
Elaborate a little bit?
Yes, I can. How, if it is, if you do think it's hurting, how is it hurting? And how do you think we can stop it? Not like we could stop it, but how can it be stopped?
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. We're going to stick to this whole industry topic for next week too, and just see what we can come up with. So send in your answers to the question of the week, and we'll tell you how to do that later on. But it is email at interactivedistractions.com, and we will explain all the ways to contact us after the rest of the show is over.
All right.
So now that we're all kinds of out of order, I have no idea what the hell is going on anymore.
Welcome to Interactive Distractions.
Oh, sorry, I got distracted. Oh. Oh, that was horrible. Okay.
Chris, tell me what's coming out next week.
Oh, well, we have a trend going this week.
Do we?
I'll see if you guys can pick it up.
Hmm.
So for the Wii next week, we have Iron Man.
Yes.
That is
I
all.
I think I know what the trend is.
Go ahead. don't blow your load early again, Jeff. Yeah. Okay?
I'm not. I'm working on that.
For DS, Brain Voyage.
Oh, shit. I thought I had the theme, but it's gone now.
Oh, okay. Is it gone? Okay. Toy Shop and Iron Man.
Yes.
Nah. Iron Man.
Iron Man. For 360?
Iron Man.
Iron Man. PS3?
Jay?
Come on. Anyone?
Jay Iron Man.
Iron Man. PS2?
Iron Man.
Iron Man. And also SNK Arcade Classics Volume 1.
Pretty cool. Not bad. It's got Samurai Showdown in it. That's neat.
Does it?
That's
all about
awesome.
That, yeah.
The first
one? For PSP?
Just the first one.
Yeah, well, actually, it's PSP and PS2. PSP has SNK Arcade Classics Volume 1. And
how much is it,
$19.99?
Iron Man! Didn't see
that. Oh, yeah,
and
there's this other game coming out next week. This Grand Theft something or rather. Grand Theft Auto number 4.
I heard of that.
What the fuck's that?
I heard of that game.
I don't know. It sounds stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody who's buying
that's not going to take off.
Why don't you research this shit before you start just tossing out names?
I'm sorry. I know. I'm horrible. I researched Toy Shop. You want to hear what Toy Shop's about?
Yeah, I'm curious.
take over your grandfather's
toy shop. I was kidding.
I
really don't care. Okay. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Who gives a shit?
Oh, nice.
Toy shop.
You manage a toy store and develop new toys. And meet folks in your community.
Meet folks. Sounds does it actually say folks?
It actually says folks. It's very folks. Exciting. That's sounds it. That's your new releases.
All right.
So, of course, we know what the highlight is, right?
Iron Man.
Oh, Iron Man.
Oh, of course. I mean, Iron Man is so much more important than Grand Theft Auto 4.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Grand Theft Auto 4.
Dude, I'm excited about Iron Man. I kind of liked the demo.
Really? Did you try it?
Yeah, I did, actually. And I downloaded it for PS3 today. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try that to see if there's any difference, really. But
gotcha.
The controls are really kind of wonky. I'm still not getting used to the flying and the hovering bit, but I'm slowly getting there.
Now, what is it like, just an action game or what?
Yeah, it's an action game, straightforward.
That follows the movie.
Kind of a third-person perspective. You know, you run around, you blow shit up with laser beams, and then you fly.
Is it published by Microsoft, Jason?
And then you blow shit up. What's that?
Is it published by Microsoft?
That's an excellent question, Jeff. I'm going to have to get back to you on that. And maybe next week I'll have an answer.
Because I don't think it is. You know, so if that's the case, Chris might want to check it out.
It's coming out for every system, I'm pretty sure it's not.
Yeah. I'm busting your balls again.
That's okay. I don't care. You're Canadian, I expect it.
Yeah. See, Iron Man's going to be one that I kind of put on the Gamefly queue. Because what I do with those
you buy used for 10 bucks,
I just try out shit, you know, much like anyone would. And then I will eventually buy it if it's good enough. But if it's not, then they're not getting my cash, bitches. Mother fair bitch. Enough. Well, thank you, Chris, for the wonderful new release list.
You are welcome.
That was awesome. But I love how you theme them sometimes. That's great.
Yeah. But I think you have something now, don't you? I think it's time for some listener email.
Listener email.
That's I got the email.
The email. Bounce Ricky meow. Duty. He gets a lot of airtime on here.
That's yeah, he does.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah.
What the hell is he saying? Do you remember when you guys were talking about the dumb shit said by GameStop employee? Well, the other day I stopped to pre-order Mario Kart Wii, Grand Theft Auto 4, and Metal Gear Solid 4, and I stayed a bit to talk with the gal there. Cute girl. Anyway, she said the smartest thing I've ever heard from a GameStop employee.
Uh-oh.
As we talked about games, she said, I have never played this, so I don't have an opinion.
Nice.
I was impressed. Because most people I know, even though they haven't played the game, they talk shit about it, depending on their fanboyism or word mm-hmm. of mouth.
Yep.
So he actually found someone. I have a theory on this, though. I don't know if she was just, you know, like being honest or if she just didn't want to talk to Ricky anymore. I'm not quite sure.
She said, I don't want to talk to this guy.
It could go either way, really. I mean,
yeah. He's got a part two and it's directed at Jeff.
Uh oh.
You ready?
Oh, shit.
Also, Jeff, you're a sucker for collector's editions. What do you think about the Grand Theft Auto 4 collector's edition and are you going to get it?
Funny. I was just thinking about that today, actually, or just yesterday when I pre-ordered GTA. I was thinking of which one to get, and it was the first time ever I was able to, my willpower actually stood up, and I didn't pre-order the limited edition.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm getting impressed. The regular one. As of now, I'm
as
just saying.
Now. He's going to go in tomorrow and see change it.
If I see it there, and
they're
going to
show
like,
you that duffel bag. And
yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that. Did you guys see that picture? It was on. I can't remember what website it was on. They showed like a, kind of like an unwrapping of the limited edition one, but it was like still pictures. Someone did it.
They actually, I did see that,
and it did look pretty cool. But I mean,
it does. I mean, it's neat. What is it? $90 though.
Yeah, it's $90.
Ouch!
It's better than the $130 legendary "fuck you" Halo pack.
Yeah, yeah.
You're getting more for it too.
Yeah, I guess.
Actually, I wanted to bring this up to you guys, and I want to see what you think.
Yeah, go for it.
I still want to do a show where all we do is talk about the stupid stuff we've heard at GameStop.
Yeah. Oh, I plan on doing that, actually. I have plans, Chris.
Okay, good.
But I'm not going to blow my load early.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's make fun of the Canadian who blows his load early. I deserve
have
it.
To get your girlfriend on the show.
Oh, no.
Well played, sir. Well played.
So, Tanya.
Yeah. Oh, he's done. Moving on.
Yeah. All right. I've got one from a new listener. This dude's name is Nerve001, Nerve 001, or Nerve1. I don't know. Anyway. Sup, gangsters? I'm sorry. That's as urban as my dialect gets. Really enjoy the show. I just wanted to know, what is your daytime job and do you enjoy it? Oh, by the way, I gave your second review on iTunes. Well, it's actually the first, really, considering Jason and Angela was the only one on there. You should ask more people to give you iTunes reviews. That's what all the other podcasts do that I listen to.
Really?
Peace out, homie. Gee. Jason is not me, by the way. I have no idea who Jason and Angela are. But I finally checked iTunes tonight, and shit you not, we actually have a couple of reviews on there. That is really cool.
Are they good?
Yes. Well, except for that Jason and Angela. They only gave us like 4 stars instead of 5.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
No, that's extremely cool.
That's all. Thanks a lot for that.
Let's do that. If you guys subscribe to us through iTunes, please, take some time, give us a review. Or, rate us. Hey,
feel free to blow your load early.
We do finally show up in the search box. If you type in interactive and then hit D, it actually pops up. It only took us like 20 episodes or whatever, but a couple weeks ago I noticed that.
And it's so exciting to read them.
And Nerve One actually got in touch with me over PSN.
He sent me a message. Oh, I got a friend invite from him. That's right.
Yeah, he sent me a message and was like, hey, are you from the Indus podcast? And I'm like, yeah, actually I am. I'm like, do you listen? He's like, yeah, I think the show is great. And I'm like, cool. Well, we're about to start playing Warhawks. And he started playing Warhawks last week.
You guys got friend invites from him?
Ooh, yeah. You didn't get one?
Yeah, awkward, awkward. what's his name on PSN?
I don't remember. Nerve 001.
That's his name on PSN.
Is it Nerve 001?
Yeah.
Didn't get one. Didn't get one.
Well, that's because it's probably because you didn't play Warhawk 2 weeks ago, because that's when he was on playing.
Ah,
yeah. So there,
that makes sense.
Canadian, take that.
Then I forgive him, and I don't feel as bad.
Your ego is intact.
Good. Yeah, it's fine.
So on to the first part of his question.
I don't have to cry
to sleep.
What do
you guys do for your day job, and do you like it?
Who starts?
Well, how about you, Chris?
All right, I'll start. I am a software engineer. I do a lot of design and development in Java and J2EE, which most people probably don't understand, except for maybe Bitch Pig is probably listening. I'm like, hey, I know what that is.
Well, me too. What the hell, man?
I know you do.
Okay. Sorry.
But yeah, so I program. It's a fancy word for I'm a programmer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And do you like it?
I do like it. I enjoy it a lot. It's what I went to college for, so I'm glad that I'm actually putting the money that I spent for my degree to good use.
Good stuff.
Yep.
That's what we like to hear.
Cool.
Stay in school, kids. I am a mortgage closing officer. That's basically
cool that
what
you have
I
officer
do.
In your title. I like
that. Yeah, that is pretty cool. It is pretty cool. It basically is code work for tight monkey. Because that's all I do is sit at a desk, and I'm basically the middleman between lawyers and mortgage reps. And when people need a mortgage, they go to the mortgage rep. They go to me. I set everything up. Send everything to the lawyers. Make sure everything goes smoothly. If anything goes wrong, I'm the one who hears all the shit.
Really?
And when things go really right and go way as things are planned, the mortgage rep gets all the praise. So
of course,
yeah,
right.
That's the way it works.
It's a conspiracy, Jeff.
It is. It is. Yeah. But do I like it? I don't mind it. It depends on the day. Depends on the time of year. We're getting really busy now, so I'm kind of swamped. That's why I'm hardly ever on like the forums and stuff anymore, because I hardly have any time. And but yeah, it depends on the day. I like it. Sometimes I hate it.
It's a gig, right? You have cool people that work there?
Yeah, that's probably one of the reasons why I actually like it. Like,
oh, really?
Most of the people I work with are really cool.
Because someone that works with Chris is really, really cool, I heard.
Oh, really?
One time.
Do you happen to know who that would be? Because
her name is Stephanie. It's certainly not Jason guy.
Steph's all right. Steph's pretty cool. Now, I work with Chris. Not exactly the same thing. I still have the official title of programmer. What exactly I do changes on a day-to-day basis. Web design, development, QA, all kinds of crazy stuff. But lately I've just been doing, deploying websites, I guess. I don't want to say who we work for because it's kind of embarrassing.
Oh. You work for Microsoft, don't you?
Yes. Yes, that is correct.
That's why Chris hates them so much.
That's right. Actually,
but I do love the people that we work for.
Yeah, the people that we work with are awesome, and that's why I like working there so much.
Yeah. That's probably the only reason why I work there. Do I love it? It's interesting because my job changes so often. You know, today I was just loving my job, you know, because we were knocking shit out and, you know, get stuff taken care of. And, you know, other days I'm like, why am I even here? I don't understand it. So yeah. I go back and forth, but I would love to have one dedicated thing that I can try and excel at. But until that day comes, I'm stuck working with Chris. Someday.
Cool. And thanks a lot for that review, by the way. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thanks a lot. And sign up for VG Evo, because I don't think you're over there yet. A lot of cool people.
The place is cooler than iTunes. This is another new listener. At least I don't recognize the name. This is from Lim Ryan. And they say, hi, y'all. E3 2008 is coming soon. What are you looking forward to and surprises will you expect from Sony?
All right. I am looking forward to White Knight Chronicles. I want to hear more about that game. That's all I can think of off the top of my head right now. I'll probably interject in a minute, but go ahead.
Looking forward to more stuff on Infamous, Resistance 2, of course. I'm hoping to see something on Home. Anything at this point, and something besides a delay would be nice. and that's pretty much all I think of on the top of my head right now, too. I mean, Little Big Planet would be kind of cool, too, but I don't know if they'll blow their load. Actually, no, it's probably E3 will probably be exactly where they blow their load for Little Big Planet.
I think I figured out the title for this episode.
No.
Yeah. Get an X rating on iTunes.
Oh,
we're
man.
Already explicit on there.
True.
I suppose it would be okay. At least we're not gooing over everyone.
That's true. That's just dirty.
Yeah, that is just dirty.
Who would ever do that?
Dirty. Let's see. Got another. Wait. What am I looking for? Same as Jeff, actually. Home stuff. I really want to find out what the hell's going on. Because the Home, if it's done right, could make me say goodbye to my 360. Not goodbye, like completely, but like, you know, not a doubt in my mind that I'll buy it for the PS3 over the. You know, Little Big Planet stuff too. It's going to be really cool.
And Too Human.
Aside from that, surprise me, man. I don't know. Something cool.
Show me something
new. I want to see something cool.
Something big and new. And I want to see Too Human.
Well, that's from Microsoft, but yeah.
Yeah, so.
Are you going to buy that
one? No, it's E3 and then
his
from
question
Sony.
Was from Sony, but if you wanted to expand to other stuff, go for it. It's your show, right?
He asks for about E3 and then he asks about Sony.
Oh, I thought he meant like both as in like one. As in what are we looking forward to?
See, there you go, thinking again, Sony.
Well, see, no. They said E3 2008 is coming soon. That's just a heads up. Like, hey, get in the mindset for E3. Okay.
Yes.
And then the next question is like, what surprises are, you know, you're expecting from Sony? Thereby
exactly
nullifying anything from Microsoft.
Anything but exactly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I read that email differently than you guys did then, apparently.
Apparently, you thought it was in a different language than English.
That's funny because it kind of was. But
that's anyway. Right.
I had to translate a little bit. Okay. Right. Next email. BB Ryukyu. I think I got that right.
He was ruckusing my shit in Warhawk yesterday.
Yeah, he was kicking everybody's ass, man.
Oh, my God. Every time I died, it was him. I'm like, you motherfucker.
All right. He says, hey, guys. I just wanted to get your opinion of when you think we might see PS2 games on the PSN. I personally think that Sony has the best games archive, period. So it makes perfect sense to me that we will one day see all those great PS2 titles on the PSN, just like what Microsoft did with Xbox Originals. Now PS1 games are all well and good, but not all games age that well. I know I shouldn't say anything because I live in Japan, blah, 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 and here we get the lion's share of PS1 games, blah, blah, blah. But I would gladly put down my money to have some great PS2 titles on my hard drive. Also, what PS2 games would you guys like to see if and when they come to the PSN? I don't know if that's an also thing, because it kind of asked that. Anyway.
Go ahead, Jess.
I was going to say... probably wouldn't expect it for a while just because PS2 is still going strong. And they probably just would rather you buy those games. Well, then again, people are probably buying them used by now, so maybe it's probably a good idea to get them out there fast. but the same kind of thing I'd want to see on the original Xbox stuff is I don't really want to see games that everyone and their grandmother already has. I want to see some of the rare stuff that are hard to find.
Yeah.
I'm not going to name any specific titles, per se, because I could be here for a while. But
well, no, I agree with that, though. And I hate to bring up Microsoft. Chris, I'm really sorry.
What is the deal? They've been putting out some really kind of is this pick on Chris Day shit? Let's go.
They've been putting out some kind of obscure stuff, and I really appreciate that. I mean, granted, there's like Ninja Gaiden and stuff, but like Dreamfall.
Yeah, there's also Journey. Psychonauts. Yeah.
Yeah. Dreamfall. Psychonauts, especially. Damn. Very cool. But for PS2 specifically, geez, he's right. There's a huge library of titles, and I'm really having trouble thinking of anything specifically. Do I love the idea? Oh shit, yeah. Will my hard drive support it? Yeah, it actually will. Will my 360 one support it? Fuck no.
No, God, no.
So I'm looking forward to the day.
Yeah, and
I think they'll be, if they did that, they'd be more successful than the Xbox originals.
Oh yeah, because the library is larger.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But more
diverse.
The one thing I have to, you know, key in on this is that if they do that, they're going to be segregating their market, because at this point, the 40 gig doesn't necessarily have the ability to play them.
That's true, too.
They would have to actually get to a full software emulation before they could do that for the 40 gig.
Yeah, good point.
Now,
that's
the 80
why
gig,
you're the alpha male on the show. Damn it.
What's that?
That's why you're the alpha male on the show.
Whatever.
I bow down to your knowledge. Damn it.
You're so full of
You're
shit,
so
Jason.
SMRT.
No, I'm serious. Damn it, I didn't think of that.
But I mean, it's still very possible for the 60 and the 80 gig. So, and you know, it could be something that they're working on, full PS2 emulation. So hopefully they are, because I'd love to see them come out with a firmware update and say, oh, by the way, 40 gig users can now emulate PS2 games and play their PS2 games. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear that.
That would be cool.
Yeah,
I would too. Chris, what should we do now?
Do we have any more emails?
We have one, like, really long email.
Okay.
I think I should read it. It's from Nabo.
It is.
You know what? He sent Nabo a voicemail, too, but I got to do one
Nabo,
or the
we can
other.
Only give you so much airtime, so.
It was a good one, though. I really liked it. But I've got to pick one or the other, and I pick the email, because it's not directed at me. It's directed at Jeff.
Yay!
Specifically. All
right. He gave me a good review, right?
Yes.
Very. Perfect.
And I'm very proud of Nabo, because the paragraphs are actually indented. He's working very, very hard on his punctuation and grammar.
Too bad he didn't work hard enough on his points.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Oh. Right.
Now, Jeff, be respectful.
I always
Dear Jeff, on the last episode, your comments about various things on the PSN seemed a bit odd. The topic was microtransactions. And let me first bring your attention to their online service. If you were somehow out of the loop, they like money, and they like charging people for just about anything, from being able to play against your friends to themes, photos, and even contests that game developers wanted to be released for free. Microsoft has shown us all what greed can do to a console. Be that as it may, this is not what angered me during your last brouhaha. The simple fact that you said one thing, and then at the end of the discussion went completely against what you had earlier said. Now, I know you're Canadian, and having French roots can be an ethical nightmare, but you really can stop carrying the white flag around everywhere. There is no need to be the first one to a fight and then start punching yourself. That's really funny. What I argue against is the comment where your PS... I'm sorry. What I argue against is the comment where you said PSN is just as guilty to nickel and diming customers as Xbox Live is. There's more. Now that I have vomited numerous times at the thought of the previous comment, I must point out your flawed argument. First off, PSN is a free service that is used to market not only original games, but also current games. Now, Xbox Live does this as well, as long as you pay them in Monopoly money. But if you don't, you still get the shiny advertisements. The simple fact that you have to pay to be advertised to should be enough, but I will go a step deeper. The content offered on Xbox Live is nowhere near as original as the things offered on PSN. Take, for instance, Geometry Wars and Pac-Man Championship Edition, which arguably are the most beloved titles on the service. Both of these were either a different game or used somewhere else and just happened to be put on Xbox Live. It is the same with other things like Uno. Dude, don't diss on Uno.
Don't diss on Uno, man.
Same with other things such as Uno. Or the many revamped arcade titles that just happen to have the word extreme or live.
To the max.
To be honest, though, you were trying to discuss microtransactions, so I will reference Luminous Live. The various EA content that was exclusive to Xbox Live, the 10 pieces of downloadable content for Oblivion, and the 4 pieces of DLC for Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter 2. Hell, even LEGO Star Wars had exclusive downloadable content. The list can go on and on and on. And I bring up gamer picks that are based on movies, themes, and hundreds of other DLC. But, yes, we're not done yet. But if I were to look at the PSN, I would find just a handful. You have 6 or so arcade classics that were released by Midway, the very few PS1 titles released by Sony, and the very few titles like Flow or Grip Shift that were available elsewhere. If we look at everything else, the themes are free, the photos are free, and the few music tracks are free, and the videos and their enclosed advertisements are absolutely free. That isn't all, though. About a third of the add-on content has been fine, or has been free, from the 2 Dragons added to Lair maps in Unreal Tournament, and heck, even EA released a free Tiger Woods golf course. Lastly, you have the $1 bargains, like PSI screensavers, pain characters, and even those American Idol karaoke downloads that are $1.50 each. The list goes on, but it all comes down to one thing. I urge you to take a second look at your 2 console stores. Your past comments were outlandishly false and could lead listeners to mistakenly believe that PSN is that bad. Have a great day. Signed, Nabo.
Well, thank
you, Jeff,
you
have the floor, sir.
I do have the floor. And I'm going to start by saying last week, first, I don't know what he's talking about where he said this whole go to a fight first, punch me in the face, and how I totally contradicted myself. I don't know what he's talking to in regards to that because he didn't say so in this email. I didn't say.
He's under the assumption that, you know, you came in, you know, ready to fight and you're strong in this, you know, not liking the microtransactions. Okay. And then you started going, oh, no, I kind of like the microtransactions. Oh, I love them. Oh, I fucking love them. But I don't remember.
Never once said that. But I was going to start out by saying the whole thing, I wasn't saying that PSN nickel and dime people more than Xbox Live or one nickel dime more than the other one. I basically said they're just as guilty, and they are. Like, another thing, I'm not French. I have no French in me at all. So I'm just going to be Canadian. Does not mean I'm French. Take a lot of offense to that. basically, they are both 100% guilty. And one thing you bring up, Nabo, in this email is the quantity of content. Think of this two things. Xbox Live has been, or 360 has been on the market for 1 year or more. So install base is bigger. Devs see a bigger opportunity to put downloadable content on there. Mm-hmm. That's why there's more. It just makes sense. That's not to say that the stuff that they put on PSN isn't charged for, because it is. The third party stuff that goes on Xbox Live that also makes it to PSN is still charged for. The fact that you pay for Microsoft points or money doesn't matter. The point here is I said that for what's on it, you still get nickel and dime. And you do. There's no difference there whatsoever. The games you mentioned, like Oblivion, yes, it had a lot of downloadable content that wasn't on the original disc, downloadable content that was also released on the PC, downloadable content that they didn't bring over to the PSN because of the fact it didn't sell enough. It's not worth it for them to bring that content over when not that many people are going to download it in the first place. So that's not the fault of Microsoft or Xbox Live. That's totally in the hands of the publishers. Same goes, say, with LEGO Star Wars. If it sells a million copies on 360 and 200,000 copies on PS3, of course they're only going to put that on Xbox Live because they're like, there's more market for it, and it's probably not worth it to them to translate it over and put it on PSN. And nickel and dime was like one of your, you said that phrase nickel and dime, and then you mentioned a game like Pain that is original. This is a game that cost $10 that came with one map and one character and then had other characters you could buy for $1. Dude, that's the definition of nickel and diming. Like, what else? How, like, do you, can you guys not agree with that? Like, that is the epitome of nickel and diming.
I agree with you. And that's the one, you know, when I, back when it came out and after I bought it, I pretty much said that if they start releasing maps and charge me for it, then I'm done with the game. They haven't released any other maps yet. And actually, I think the the game came with two characters, didn't it? Or three. Two or three.
I have no idea.
But right away they had...
The others were unlockable, yeah.
Yeah, they were unlockable. And then, but right away they had two characters you could download for 99 cents. Yeah. But yeah, I definitely agree. That's nickel and diming.
Oh, it's the epitome of nickel and diming. And this is funny how he uses that as an example of how it's an original game. And on that note, I have a little list here that I just thought of.
I got to back up though. I mean, because what was the price tag on the game when it first came out? Just $10.
I have no idea.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know. That's their business model, you know. They get the game out very cheap, and then they recoup their costs.
Oh no, no, I'm not arguing costs. So whatever. I'm arguing the fact. My point was timing, really. My point was basically stuff on PSN costs just as much as it does on Xbox Live. Just there's more on Xbox Live because, of course, there's a way bigger market. And he keeps bringing in games that these games that have this exclusive content on Xbox Live. And I said before, it's up to these are the developers, by the way, Nabo. This isn't Microsoft saying, "Hey, you mentioned Ghost Recon." They don't go to Ubisoft and say, "Hey, we want you to create some content to put on our Xbox Live." No, that's Ubisoft creating maps for people who bought the game because a lot of people bought it and who obviously want the maps because they did sell, and they're putting on an Xbox Live. And you mentioned that PSN has stuff for free. So does Xbox Live. Crackdown's initial Crackdown DLC was free. They had a free option, and you can buy this other stuff that was obviously made extra afterwards. And other stuff, like Oblivion stuff, went free after a while. Halo 3 maps went free after a while. Graw maps went free after a while. Pretty much everything, a lot of things go free after a while if it's popular enough or if there's new content coming. Last time I checked, Resistance maps, still charged for. Motorstorm stuff, still charged for. Yeah. Not even a reduction in price, Nabo. They're still getting charged for that shit. Like, no ifs, ands, or buts. And again, this is the devs making this. This is them putting up there. It's not Microsoft. Like, Microsoft might... the one thing you said is that developers want to put stuff on there for free, and they said no. Well, for Bungie, that is the case, yes, because they said, listen, they can make a shitload of money off Halo 3. They're going to do it. But in terms of Gears of War, they let the first map pack come out for free, and then the other ones after that, they had to be paid for, which is understandable considering Microsoft paid for everything to do with marketing or PR or anything for that game. They paid for it, so they want to make as much money as possible. And again, it's a business, right? Like, you can't really blame them for that. But you did get free stuff, nonetheless. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why you brought up the whole themes and gamer picks, because I said that last week. I personally said, I think it's ridiculous that they charge that on Xbox Live, and it's awesome you get that for free on PSN. So that was kind of... there's really no point in saying that, because I pretty much agree with you right from the get-go. Just another, like, couple things I want to touch on in here. Sorry. The original content, you were saying that how PSN has more original content. It might, in terms of quantity ratio to what's original to what's not original, but just thinking, like, off the top of my head today at work, I found a couple, PSN original titles. We have Blast Factor, Calling All Cars, Everyday Shooter, High Velocity Bowling, Pain, Super Stardust. Was that actually a remake, or is that actually original?
It's a remake-ish sequel.
Okay, we'll call it original. So Pixel Junk Monsters, which is also kind of like a remake of another Tower Defense Force for PC, but it's basically the same thing. Super Rub-A-Dub. Now let's look at Xbox Live original games. Age of Swing, Assault Heroes, Cloning Clyde, A Heavy Weapon, Feeding Frenzy, Small Arms, Totem Ball, Undertow, Wick the Fable of Souls, Wing Commander Arena, Lost Cities, Rocky and Bullwinkle, Astro Pop, Boogie Bunnies, Brain Challenge, Eats Chowdown, Novadrome, Band of Bugs, Commander's Attack of the Genos. Those are just like the ones I was thinking of while I was at work today. If I looked up the actual list, there's probably a lot more. So I don't know where you're coming with that argument, go for it.
Battlestar Galactica. Okay.
Battlestar Galactica. The only reason I didn't list that is because I thought that was multi. I thought that was on both.
It's not. So. It's only Xbox.
Okay.
See, they actually had that on sale right before the fourth season started, and I missed it.
You're not missing
it. Sale. There you go. And one last thing, dude. Advertisements. Like, I don't know if you guys, correct me if I'm wrong, because the store in the U.S. might be different than Canada, but we don't get advertisements like go to McDonald's. The only advertisements I see on Xbox Live are advertising stuff that's coming up happening on Xbox, like for Call of Duty Weekend or whatnot, or advertisements for new downloads, advertisements for new videos they have up there. But I haven't seen any advertisements that don't have at least something to do with gaming. Like you might get the
it's loosely based.
Gears of War weekend brought to you by Discovery Channel.
There's like a new like Toyota car out there right now that they're pimping, or the new like connectivity stuff in there, you know. But they're trying to get into the game. They're like, you know, play this game or something, whatever. Here's our freaking car.
Yeah. But it's not like in your face. And both.
Yeah, it is. Oh yeah, it is. It's taking up a third of my screen.
Yeah, well, really. It takes up. It's quite It's quite an area, man.
Yeah. See, that's. I don't think we get those ones here, man. Because the only ones we get, like, we'll get the odd one, the small one that'll be something like that. But most of the advertisements here are just all game based or something that's on Xbox Live Marketplace or something like that.
Yeah, I will say the majority of them are, you know, true to form, just game stuff, you know. But yeah, we get those really obnoxious ones.
Yeah. That's basically it. The fact that if you actually believe that the PSN isn't nickel and diming you simply because of quantity, then that's basically all you, that's the only valid thing you really had in your email was, yes, there's a lot more on Xbox Live, but like no shit. It's been out for a year or more and the install base is way bigger, so there's a bigger market for it. But if you think for a second that Sony's not nickel and dime people and devs who are making stuff for PSN aren't trying to nickel and dime people as well, then I don't know what you've been smoking, man. Because Payne, that one of your own examples, is a perfect example of what if you're shooting yourself in the foot. Because, yeah, there's not really much more to say, dude.
Yeah, Payne's a definite example of it.
Yeah.
I disagree. Mostly for the sake of disagreeing.
Yes, I figured as
much. Nabo, I'm with you, buddy.
Cool.
Well, he needs a friend.
But yeah. What else we got?
No, I like that, though.
That is
like,
it.
Writing emails.
That's it?
That is it. That is it. Jeff, do you feel better?
I do feel better. I do feel better. Like, okay. no harm against Nabo. I thought it was, I actually liked the email. I thought that was cool that he actually wrote that in. But, I mean,
hey. And he only made, like, one or two Canadian jokes. That he French did. Shit, though, that was crossing the
line.
Yeah,
that was low. That was low, dude.
Wow.
Yeah. That'd be like,
man, we're gonna get hate mail from people in France all of a sudden. I live in Paris and I hate to your podcast. Okay,
I don't care.
Oh man. All right, cool. Well, let's go over the question of the week again.
Yep.
Is piracy hurting the industry?
Arr.
How is it hurting the industry?
And you need to add that at the end of the question, though.
Like actually, it should probably be at the beginning. Arr. Is piracy hurting the industry?
All right, whatever.
Welcome to episode 23, the clusterfuck episode. We have no idea what's going on.
No kidding, man. And also the longest episode ever.
If it is how is it hurting the industry and how can it be stopped? So send the answer to the question of the week in. You can do it by email. Our address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can also send in a voicemail because we haven't had one in like 3 weeks. Well, Nabo sent one, but we're going to save it. Mm-hmm. Voicemail line is 818-528-GAME. That's 818-528-4263. Mm-hmm. You can get us on Skype. It's Interactive Distractions, all one word.
All lowercase.
There you go.
And you can also reach Chris at his home address at 8601. No, I'm sorry. I'm not going to really give him. Anyway, I'll give you his phone number, though. It's
Hey, wait a second. You can also get us on Google Talk. It's interactivedistractions@gmail.com. You can also find us at VG Evo. So come by, sign up, and join the forums. It's a lot of fun, great people. And there's no flaming, mostly.
Well,
no.
Between... I don't know. This whole Jeff and Nabo business is getting a little heated.
That's nothing. I mean, it's not my fault
they can't see you.
It's not my fault. Nabo can't tell when he's getting ripped off.
Oh, damn it, Jeff!
Just gotta start shit, don't you?
Hey, man, you gotta make things exciting.
And don't forget Warhawk Wednesdays. Please join us for Warhawk Wednesdays. We had a great time last week. It was, or yesterday, I should say. And it was, we had at least 18 people at one point. We might have had more. But, yeah, that's it. Lots of ways to contact us, so please do so.
Lots of ways to kill us in Warhawk.
Yeah, lots of ways to kill us in Warhawk.
Yes.
Especially Chris, because he sucks.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah, you
too.
Weren't that bad. You guys took me out a few times. I wasn't happy.
Damn, I got killed by a noob.
I did maybe say damn Canadians once or twice. Upon getting killed by Jeff. Damn.
Cool. Well, you guys have anything you want to throw out before we wrap up?
No.
I'm good. I am good.
Yeah, I am too. Well, cool. Thank you guys very much for listening. I know it was a very... It was a longer episode with a little bit less structure. But thanks for suffering
through
it.
Yeah, they're going
to
hate this one.
Send us your emails. Send us your voicemails. And we will look forward to talking to you next week.
Absolutely.
Coolio.
Is that it? We done?
Yeah, I think we're done.
Laters. That was gay.
Laters.
Laters. The fuck laters. Says laters?
I don't know.